secretary this meeting open. In the absence of the chairperson, who is currently abroad, an acting chairperson will be elected in terms of the rule 130 of the National Assembly rules. Please note that each member is entitled to one vote. The procedure would be as follows. I will call for a nomination and a seconder. With only one nomination, no voting is required, and the nominated person will be elected as the acting chairperson. If there are more than one nomination, it will be put to a vote by a show of hands. The nominee with the majority votes will be elected as the acting chairperson. I will proceed. Are there any nominations for the position of the acting chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Communications? Honourable Member Mutambi.
Thank you. I hereby nominate Honourable Morotoa to act as the chairperson of this committee.
Is there any seconder for the nomination? Honourable Killian. The nomination is seconded by Honourable Killian. Furthermore, given that the nomination was seconded, we elect Honourable Morotoa as the acting chairperson.
Just on a point of procedure, I think you should ask if there are any other nominations.
All right, we can follow that. Okay, sure. Are there any further nominations? None? On that point, we can then proceed to elect Honourable Morotoa as the acting chairperson in the absence of Honourable Kumwani, who is the official chairperson. Honourable Morotoa.
Good morning. Maybe I should start by thanking the people who have nominated me, people who have had confidence in me. Um,
The meeting has been opened already by the secretary. On our agenda, we have the agenda. On the agenda, there's only one item I see in front of me here. And as you know, that we were supposed to get a report from the task team, which comprises of the Department of Communication and National Treasury and SABC. I'm told that Treasury is not around. Is that correct? Okay. Oh, thank you, then. I was just wondering. Okay, then. I don't see any other apologies in front of me. I really will apologize if anyone has forwarded any apology and it's not mentioned here. Because what's happening now? I'm just told that Professor Green has filed an apology. I don't know why we were not given that apology prior to this meeting. I think that's the correct procedure. It's very clumsy for us to come and talk about apologies when we are supposed to start the meeting. I might not be the chairperson, but I think it's just not right. And the other apologies, Clifford Mutipe. I suppose the committee welcomes those apologies. I don't know. I thought that it's the chairperson that has gone overseas, but I think a lot of things are not done here. The IT also seems to be delaying some of the the whole presentation. When did they say they're going to be? The IT people are saying they will be coming here in the next 5 minutes. I don't know whether you agree that we should proceed. I'll hear from you before I introduce some of the members. Mutambi?
Can we propose that everybody grab a cup of tea so that when we start, with everybody settled?
Is there a second on that? Okay.
I would like to second the proposal. Thank you, Comrade Chair.
And I suppose Danny wanted to TED. what are you saying, Danny? Okay, then let us agree on the time for tea. I think we'll have 15 minutes, that's fine. We'll be starting officially at half past. Is that fine? Okay, thank you. Yes, we welcome the committee members. And already we've welcomed the SABC, DOC, and Treasury. And I think we ought to go to the agenda item. I think we all remember that the committee's request was that the board should appoint, by now appoint the DCEO, which they've done, and also they've appointed a CFO. We thank you for that. We're really thankful for that because it was one of the things that the committee was really concerned about. We are going to give this opportunity to the task team to deliberate on their presentation. I think I'll give the task team to do that, and the other components of the task team will be coming in now that we have everyone today here. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. We here as the MTT, or what we normally call as the Monitoring Task Team on the SABC, to give the committee a report on the progress made on the guarantee that was issued. that was issued in December of 2009. I am with the members of the team from the Department of Communications, National Treasury, as well as the colleagues from the SABC.
Excuse me, Chair. Please could the speakers introduce us so that we know the names of the people who are talking to us, so we know who to direct questions to.
Can you please, everyone who is speaking, can they please introduce themselves?
Thank you very much, Chair. I will start with myself and perhaps also introduce the rest of the MTT members. I'm Sam Vilagazi from the Department of Communications. I'm the chairperson of the Monitoring Task Team.
My name is Avril Helsted. I'm from the National Treasury.
My name is Nkupane Makatse from the National Treasury.
Good morning. My name is Lerato Nache from the SABC. Thank you.
Chair, there are other members from the DOC. I'll request them to introduce themselves.
Good morning. My name is Sibongile Makobi from the Department of Communications.
Can I just interject? I passed introductions. The request was that if anyone is making a presentation, you please introduce yourself. We have introduced the task team, that the task team is here. It comprises of DOC and all. So what you can do for us now is to introduce yourself when you make a presentation.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think with that having been said, we'll go straight into the presentation. I did mention earlier on that in December 2009, a guarantee of $1 billion was provided to the SABC by government, which was used to secure a loan from that bank to address the challenges that the SABC had at the time. Of course, the guarantee was issued on the basis of the commitments that were made by the SABC, and I think at the heart of those conditions, it was the fact that the SABC would implement the turnaround to improve the performance of the corporation. And of course, the ability of the SABC to repay this guaranteed funds is dependent on the successful execution of the turnaround plan by the board, as well as the executive management. To ensure that the deliverables in pursuit of the turnaround plan are met, were met, the monitoring task team comprising of representatives from Treasury, DOC, and the SABC was established to monitor progress of the SABC and its financial position. I must indicate, Chair and Honourable Members, that this presentation is built on the presentation that was made by the MTT to PCC on 22nd of November of 2011. It also provides progress made with regard to various commitments made by the Minister of Communications when she appeared last year before this committee. Some of the historical performance of the SABC, which was also presented to the PCC on 22nd of November, is kept in this presentation for reference purposes. And I think, lastly, Chair, the MTT report on progress made by the SABC indicated below mainly uses the 9-10 as the base here, given that the guarantee was issued towards the end of 2009. The performance of the SABC in respect of the financial year 2009-10, I think we are of the view, Chair, that it must be treated with caution, given that the guarantee, the time when it was issued, were only it was issued in the third quarter of the financial year. So essentially, it meant that we were only 3 months to close the year. So there isn't really much that can be measured from the financial year 2009-10. However, Chair, we are saying due to the timing of the guarantee, the performance of the SABC should be assessed from the year April 1st, 2010 to March 31st, March 2011. The reason being that that is a full financial year, and of course it will then be in a, it will give a very good picture in terms of how the SABC has performed. Of course, we'll also look at the performance of the corporation up until the last quarter, which ended in December of 2011. Chair and Honourable Members, there were commitments that were put forward when the SABC applied for a guarantee. We're just going to go through each of the conditions and indicate progress that has been made, and where the conditions have been successfully met, we'll indicate so, and where they have not been met, we'll also highlight and indicate the corrective measures. I think the first one is the issue of the development of a turnaround plan, outlining milestones, timelines, executives responsible for achieving the cost saving and the revenue enhancement measures. As the Honourable Chair members would know that the issue of revenue enhancement as well as cost saving was really one of the critical issues in the conditions of the guarantee. Progress to date, the turnaround plan, various elements of the turnaround plan have been integrated into a draft turnaround plan that was submitted by the SABC by the mid-January 2012. However, there's still some work that is currently being done. It's almost at the tail end in terms of finalizing that work. A draft integrated turnaround plan has been refined, and a board-approved integrated turnaround plan, which will form the basis for 2012-2015 corporate plan, will be submitted to the Minister of Communications by not later than 29th of February 2012. So on this one, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, we're saying it is partially achieved, and once all of this is, all these things are put in place, which I, as I've already indicated, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, that we are expecting to have the plan before end of this week. The second issue was around the implementation plan for addressing the issues that were raised in the Auditor General's report. The implementation plan for addressing the issues raised in the AGES report has been submitted, but of course there is some work that is currently going on within the SABC, which is driven from the CEO's office. I think, Chair, this is a matter that, according to our knowledge, the SABC will be reporting to the PCC separately on progress that has been made meeting the or addressing the AG findings, as well as the issue, the progress made to date. However, as an SMTT, we're saying continuous implementation of the recommendations and monitoring of compliance will be carried on an ongoing basis. And therefore, we're saying this has not really been achieved because we still have to see the revised plan and as well as the progress that has been made in addressing these issues. On the some of the key conditions being the cost-cutting and revenue enhancement measures to be captured in the shareholders' compact, by the time we formulated or we developed this presentation, Honourable Chair, you'd notice that some of the things here might have been overtaken by events. One of the things was that cost-cutting and revenue enhancement measures will be captured in the shareholders' compact. It will be finalized, signed, and sent and submitted to the minister. When we wrote this presentation, the signing was not done, but we must indicate that we have been informed that the shareholders' compact has been finalized, and therefore we can report as such that this has been achieved. The next condition was the establishment of the monitoring task team to be established to monitor progress on the turnaround plan as part of the conditions, and I think the team is the one sitting in front of the committee today. There were further commitments that were made by the minister to the PCC last year. I think the if I could just go into those ones, which was not really the commitment from the minister as such, it's just part of the request from the SABC, is the revision of the government guarantee targets. The proposal has been submitted to National Treasury, and it will be considered on the 13th of March, which is the month that is starting. Essentially, the SABC is asking to relook into some of the conditions that were initially put forward, as there might have been certain assumptions, and of course the economic landscape might have been different when the certain projections were made. And however, given that there are changes in the market, it therefore makes sense that the conditions be looked into. The second issue is the filling in of key vacant positions. I think the Honourable Chair already spoke about the fact that the position of the CEO, CFO has been filled, and the other key positions would of course be dealt with later, being the COO and the CTO. These are mainly the commitments that the Minister made last year. On the 24-hour news channel, the final business plan for the 24-hour news channel, which provides an indication of projected revenues to be generated, has not yet been submitted to the NTT. However, as a corrective measure, we are working with the SABC to ensure that this plan is finalized and submitted as soon as it has seen the board approval. On the turnaround of SABC 3, the SABC 3 has been underperforming in all respects. There has been declining audiences, declining revenue, and brand integrity erosion. The SABC needs to submit the channel's turnaround plan that will restore its competitiveness. And as a corrective measure, a turnaround plan would also be incorporated into the SABC's corporate plan for 2012-2015, the very same plan that I spoke about earlier, that it will be finalized by before end of this week. Content acquisition plan. On an annual basis, the SABC needs to prepare a three-year commissioning and acquisition strategy and plan for both local and international programming. That meets SABC's mandate and its business strategy. The plan should be cost-effective and efficient. And of course, once again, the plan will be incorporated into the 2012-2015 corporate plan. Moving into the actual performance of the SABC for the financial year 10-11, you'd notice, Honorable Chair, that we do have two sets of numbers there. The first set relates to financial year 9-10, and the second set relates to 10-11. Now, I did mention earlier on that we didn't want to zoom that much into 9-10 because it would not really give a true picture of really how SABC performed in terms of meeting the government guarantee conditions, given that the SABC only had 3 months to close the financial year when the guarantee was issued. So 9-10 would give a better picture. On the advertising revenue enhancement, you'd notice, Chair and Honorable Members, that on the second column, targeted measures, increased by 535 million by March 2013. Perhaps if I can just go to the to the comments in terms of on the financial 2010-2011 performance, you'd notice there, Chair, there's 3.5 billion versus a target of 3.569 billion versus a target of 3.501 billion. So there is an achievement there on the advertising revenue. Sponsorship revenue, you notice, Chair, that this one is on the red, as we're talking only 483 million versus a target of 607. I think this is one area that is a bit of a challenge at the moment at the SABC. Content management, there is progress there. 1.597 billion versus a target of 2 billion. This one is also in the green. However, we must mention, Chair, that on this area, even though it may be on the green, the low level of spending on content is worrying because of its long-term impact. And of course, the quality of the content has not been attracting audiences and advertisers. So this is an area that even though progress has been recorded, it needs to be attended to, and it's something that we have mentioned quite repeatedly to the SABC, and the board and the management, they are working on it to make sure that the issue of content is addressed. The next issue being the people costs. I think this is an area which is still a little bit problematic. The target there, 1.753 billion versus target of 1.476 billion, and I think the reasons recorded there is delay in approving the operating model and organizational structure. I think this is one of the most thorny and difficult area to look into, but we continue to raise this issue with the management, and that we believe that there are efforts to try and work on this. Professional fees, we also having a bit of a problem there. 167 million versus a target of 113. I think there's a bit of a problem there. I think the costs the reasons quoted there, they relate to SIU investigation as well as the turnaround specialists who have brought on board, and I think this is a cost that were not anticipated by the SABC. On the marketing side of things, for 10-11, 108 million versus a target of 234. I think the reason recorded there, the marketing agencies have not been appointed, and I think this is an area that once again we continue to raise, and the management and the board are looking into it. License fee collection, this one is on the green. 872 million versus a target of 877, with a slight a difference of about 5 million, which is not that significant. Other expenses, 389 versus a target of 480, it's on the green, that one. And then the finance cost, 85 million versus projection of 176. The SABC's overall loss for the financial year 2010-11 was 214 million, which was significant, which was slightly lower than the targeted loss of 228 million. And there's a difference of about 12 million there, 14 million. The next slide, Chair, which is very, the numbers are very small there. All what it does, it seeks to then highlight the performance of the SABC from the 1st of April 2011 to the 31st of December 2011. It's more like a performance to date. I'll just go to the next slide so that, because it's summarized in the next slide. The SABC revenue for the 3 months, that is October, November, December, amounted to 1.6 billion, higher than the budget for the period by 107, which represents 7%, higher than the previous 3 months period of April to June of 1.3 billion, July, September 2011, 1.4 billion, and also higher than the recorded revenue for the same period in the previous financial year. So there has been some movement there. The year-to-date revenue amounted to 4.4 billion, also higher than the budget of 4.2 billion. The positive revenue performance for the quarter is mainly driven by the advertising revenue and license fees. I did mention earlier on, Chair, Honorable Members, that the sponsorship revenue remains a concern, with sports revenue contributing to most of the underperformance. And I think the board is seriously looking at this issue, because we continue to raise it also as the entity. The SABC is projecting that the revenue for the year will be 5.615 billion, which will be slightly ahead of the budgeted 5.613 billion. On the expenditure side, the total expenses for the 3 month period amounted to 1.377 billion, higher than the budget by 17.8 million, which represents 1%, and also higher than the recorded total expenses for the same period in the previous financial year. The year to date total expenses amount to 3.9 billion, which is lower than the budget of 4.2 billion. The employee compensation and benefit expenses are 114 million higher than the budgeted for the year to date. I think I did mention earlier on, Chair, that one of the challenging areas is around employee compensation, because it continues to grow. And I think this is something that needs to be given attention. The SABC is projecting that by year end, total expenditure will be 5.627 billion, which is 130 million more than the budget of 5.496 billion. The increase in the cost in the last quarter is attributed to the higher than budgeted expenditure on employee compensation and benefits, programming costs that will be incurred, and year-end accruals. So, Chair, you'd notice that one of the biggest cost drivers would be employee costs and benefits. The SABC posted an operating profit for 3 months of 252 million, higher than the budget for the period by 163, and lower than the operating profits for the same period in the previous financial year. The year-to-date operating profits amounted to 42 million, higher than the budget for the period, I think it's 53 million there. The SABC is projecting that by year end, an operating loss of 11 million will be realized. The corporation is also projecting to realize a net loss of 92 million by year end, which is 105 million lower than the net profit of 12 million budgeted at the beginning of the year, and 320 million lower than the 228 million profit committed to under the guarantee. The next graph the graph on the next slide show the trends for the current financial year for the revenue. I think it's just essentially what I've been reading. It's just the graph that shows the total revenue expenditure as well as the operating profits. progress with the turnaround strategy, the approach that the corporation has taken is that of clustering the conditions that were put in the guarantee. I did mention, Chair, the revenue enhancement, cost cutting, and under each category, there are items. For example, you have under revenue enhancement, you have TV license revenue, trading and pricing methodology, advertising revenue, and so on. Various executives have been assigned these responsibilities to come up with plans and make sure that these plans are implemented to achieve this. And on the status, Chair, you'd notice that you'd have a red, green, yellow there, red indicating that the target is behind, green indicating that it's on track, and the yellow indicating that there is a delay. If you move on to cost management, you also then notice the same trends there on people cost, sports cost reduction, and so on. The reason why it was done in this fashion, Chair, was just to make sure that we do not have the responsibilities of the turnaround lying all over. Every executive should have a piece to take and also to be in a position to report on from time to time to the board and to the executive management. The same then trend follows on audience attraction and retention. You notice the Chair, some few areas still delayed there, some areas in the red. On the operating model and efficient organizational structure, also a couple of areas there delayed. I think only one there on the green. On the governance and control, I think the first area there, which deals with the delegation of authority framework, I think is an area where there was no one, but there is a person now in this portfolio. We're hoping to see the color changing from red to green. And then, of course, the editorial policy, and then the last one is an executive who's responsible for this one. We must report, Chair, that the status of most of the turnaround project is delayed. Some of the challenges identified by the SABC in respect of the delayed project are delays in implementation of the approved, the new operating model and organizational structure, lack of funds to implement some of the recommendations, and the inability to attract sponsorship revenue. I think we did speak about the challenges that the SABC encounters, more especially around the sponsorship. The next graph, Chair and Honorable Members, it simply depicts the cash flow situation over a period of 36 months at the SABC. But I think what is important, or the long and short of this graph really, Chair, is to show the potential shortfall that the SABC is likely to encounter, particularly if it's to invest in DTT. As Honorable Chair and Honorable Members know that the country is now migrating, and SABC has to also be seem to be playing a part in this migration. And of course, the DTT comes at a cost. And therefore, if the corporation is to invest in this project, because in all honesty, it is not really an initiative of the SABC, it's a national project. If the corporation invests in here, we're looking at a shortfall, which is estimated for now at around 836 million. However, as the MTT, we have also taken a view that we need to look into this matter very closely, wherein a business case has to be developed around DTT in order to see how the SABC can be assisted in this, because it's only fair that the projects of national interest are also given the attention they deserve. I think in conclusion, Chair, we would like to put forward to the committee that it's not quite an easy journey, but some progress has been made by the SABC board and management to stabilize the organization. However, there are still some challenges. I did mention earlier on, Chair, that we are also still looking for an integrated plan, which will be coming to us, which will have to indicate that indeed the SABC will turn around to the level where it's able to meet all the conditions of the guarantee. You might have noticed here already that some of the conditions have been met, even though there are still concerns. For example, I did speak about things like content and so on. Some of the conditions, they still remain in the red, but we are hoping that with the new plan that is coming, we should be able to make some inroads. And I think also the fact that there is stability at the executive level, this should also be able to help the SABC to move to a level where the targets can be achieved. We must also indicate here that performance against the commitments, as I've already mentioned, made in the guarantee application has been mixed, particularly in crucial areas such as employee compensation and investment in content. I think the issue around employee compensation also remains one of those critical areas that needs to be looked into. Of course, we do acknowledge the difficulty that goes with it. It's not an exercise that can be just achieved overnight, but it's of course something that needs to be treated with care, whilst at the same time making sure that the SABC does not continue to incur costs. For the year to date, the SABC has delivered performance well ahead of budget, but this performance is expected to reverse over the last quarter. I think there may be some challenges there. Going forward, the SABC is projecting that it will not deliver the performance committed to under the guarantee and will realize I did speak about the figure of 836 million cash flow shortfall if the SABC were to invest in the DTT. And I must indicate here that there is some little allocation that has been made by National Treasury on DTT, which is about 138 million. For digital library and the playout center. But of course, this still does not cover what the SABC will require. That's why I did indicate that as MTT, we have taken a view that a solid business case has to be developed around DTT so that it can then be taken forward. Lastly, Chair, the SABC has submitted a draft proposal for the amendment of government guarantee targets and has been submitted to National Treasury for consideration. I did speak to this subject earlier on, Chair, and we're hoping that we'll hear from the Government Certification Committee on the 13th of March, 2012. And I think, in closing, Chair, we would like to put forward to this committee that the picture, it doesn't look bad. There is progress. But I think our request, or perhaps our engagement with SABC on a continuous basis, we continue to impress on the SABC to step up, to make sure that the conditions of the guarantee are met. I think the cooperation is on the right track. I think what is really required at this point in time, Chair, we need action in areas that are not moving. We need a bit of speed, and I think we need some results going forward. But the direction that the corporation is on, I think, is promising, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Your last comment, it's trying to influence what the committee should decide. But I think it's for this committee really to comment on the progress. Do we have anyone who wants to the treasury? Does anyone from the MTT want to say something? Okay. Thank you. That is the presentation. Thank you very much, Chairperson. For your comprehensive presentation. Now we are going to give the committee a chance to comment and question. First thing maybe is clarity and question. Honorable Shin.
Thank you.
we noticed that on the presentation, the government guarantees put down as 1 billion, but in the report, the background research we've got that the government guarantee is 1.473 billion. So can we have some clarity on whether we're talking about the guarantee or the actual loan that was made? My concerns are about this 24-hour news channel. I mean, you're not going to make your targets by some hundreds of million rand. Why are we actually wasting energy and time on trying to start up a new channel when actually the existing three you have still need to get into the red? I would tend to think that this is something that's on a wish list project many years away. But I would think that the critical thing is to get the SABC in the black, and actually it's existing free channels more productive and more attractive to advertising before we start entertaining any new ideas. And one sort of hopes that is there a strategy on your content acquisition plan, which you're talking about, of improving the content of those free channels? And obviously there's a lot of dramatic and documentary making talent in the country. One hopes that there's a plan to actually increase the outlets that they will have to contribute to this, and it will obviously make the channels a lot more attractive. And now, I was also looking at the staffing, employee compensation and benefit expenses have gone up rather than go down at a time when you're actually trying to reduce staff expenses, the salary bill, and yet I don't see in this presentation, forgive me, I'm new to the committee, so this may have been made somewhere else, I don't see any target for number of staff being reduced. Is there such a number, a headcount that you're trying to get down to? Because it just seems to be about reducing the money, and yet you're actually going up in money rather than reducing the salary bill. And what you talked about, the compensation, the difficulty of compensation. A lot of money has been wasted by the SABC on paying out really handsome golden handshakes to some rather opportunistic fellows who were smarter at drawing up their employment contracts than the SABC's lawyers were in employing them. Wanting to know if the terms of employment contracts, particularly of executives, is being reviewed to actually minimize the damage done by having to pay out gold handshakes. Hopefully your turnaround strategy will minimize the amount of gold handshakes you have to pay out. But surely there must be some review of the employment contract. I'll leave it there for now. Thank you.
We have Honorable Steyn.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me put this question to the chairperson of the monitoring team, first of all. I know he ended off indicating that he was sort of happy with what's happening. But I want to put the question very pertinent to him. As the chair of this task monitoring team, can you sit here today and tell us that you are happy with the way the last 12, 15 months that the SABC has gone in terms of fulfilling the conditions in the guarantee? Right? I want you to be brutally honest with us, because I'm not part of your monitoring team, and I'm also a new member, so do forgive me if there are information that I'm not aware of. But if I look at exclusively this so-called progress report to us as a committee, then I must tell you that I am not happy. And linked to that, I'd like to ask you the very last point that you made about it would appear that the conditions that was initially part of the guarantee is being tweaked and amended, and you're waiting for, you say there in the very last thing, the government guarantee target has been submitted to National Treasury. It sounds to me like what we are trying to achieve here is really to change the conditions to meet up with your achievements, rather than bringing your achievements to meet the conditions. Can you just tell us a little bit more about what, I mean, it's a bit foolish to try and change conditions halfway through because of a failure of performance, of reaching those targets. I do believe that we're not putting enough effort in to actually achieve those targets. And again, if you look at your anticipated loss in 2013-14, the FABC will be back exactly where they were at the end of 2010, and you'll be coming for another billion rand handout. It's simply, in terms of what I see in front of me, it's unacceptable. There doesn't appear to be much initiative. There doesn't appear to be much... In fact, the message I'm getting is that the board is simply not interested in achieving these targets. And I'm going to put to you, Chairperson, if I look at, I'm going to quote a number of things to substantiate what I'm saying. If I look at page 7, the cost cutting and revenue enhancements, we're talking here about the board approved shareholder compact need to be submitted to the minister as soon as it is signed by the board. Now, we're talking about 15, 18, almost 20 months later since the original guarantee was given. Now, surely there must be more haste to do something like this. There are issues here where the board is yet to, even though a draft plan has been approved, the board is yet to sign it off. Now, who approved it? I would imagine the board. Now, when they approved it, why wasn't it signed off? Why approve it and then wait, I don't know, 2-3 months to sign it off? I'm also concerned about the expenditure on employees, as the SABC board appear to be. But they're already overspending it. They're not meeting their targets. And, Chairperson, you and I know that very senior positions have been filled and are about to be filled. Now, that is not going to help the salary bill. It links on to the question that my colleague asked in terms of, is there a plan to look at the numbers rather than just the money side? Now, I put it to you that your salary bill is going to escalate quite dramatically once these senior appointments have been made. Then, Chairperson, I'm a little bit, I love figures, as you will have come to know. And I'm concerned in the manner in which this report is given to us. Rather than giving a target and saying that this is what we've achieved in the target, it's been given in a very confusing way. It says, for example, and not all of them, but it will say that we X number over or under the target, which makes one, you've got to think about it. It's not out there in your face that the target has not been reached. What is also confusing for me is if you look at your target measures, invariably it talks about, and I'm looking at page 11 and 12 and 13, you talk about March 2013 and March 2011. Why don't we see anything about March 2012? Which would surely give us an indication of where we are. We're in February 2012, but we're looking at 2011 March, and then we jump to 2013. So it doesn't give me the true picture of what, and maybe it's wrong, because in the comment section it talks about, obviously, 2009-10 and then 2010-11. But again, where's 11-12? We're almost at the end of 12. So where's, or rather at the end of the 2011-12 financial year. Where are those figures? Why aren't we seeing those there? Chair, I'm looking at the you know, if you go through this targets here, most of them have not been achieved. I mean, again, 15, 20 months later, the marketing agencies have not been appointed. It is worrisome that these things are not being taken too seriously. Then we are told the SABC's overall loss for 2010-2011 was 214, which was slightly lower than the targeted loss of 228. Now, I know it's not easy to just pull something around from a loss-making entity into profit-making. But surely, I don't think we should celebrate when we've targeted a loss of 228 and we say, well, you know, we're on 214, so we've made some headway. The way we're going, and from the result that I'm seeing, it's clear that these conditions are not going to be met. The SABC is not going to be out of the red. I'll stop for now, Chair.
Thank you. Honorable Brooker?
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for your presentation. Firstly, your corporate plan, you see that will be headed in tomorrow, 29th of February 2012. Many times you're getting deadlines that obviously that has been passed. So can you tell us, has it been revised? So is tomorrow the real document that will be given in? Has that document been revised and so forth? So I just want to know, is that now the final document that will be given in? Then I want to ask about Nedbank's loan of 1 billion rand. I see no way if the loan has been paid back. Are you paying back? I want to actually see, is the amount actually been paid back to the bank? Like, for example, there's maybe 1 million paid, 2 million, 3 million. Has an amount as actual money been given to Nedbank? Thirdly, I'd like to know the enhancement of content management. And you say it's achieved. And you're also worried about the low level of spending in the... Okay, the interpreter's mistake, sorry. The low level of spending on content is worrying because of the long-term impact on the quality. People are saying that there's a lot of repeats happening on SABC. So I'd like to know what progress are you making to make sure that there's not a lot of repeats and that this local content is actually benefiting so that we do not have this repeat. So what progress are you making regarding that? Maybe that's a question for SABC rather. In our president's speech in his sauna, and I guess you did say it before, where staff in the SABC mainly have private businesses, and then maybe what they will do is that they will benefit as well. Maybe there's a tender going out, and staff in a personal capacity, private capacity, will then maybe benefit from such things. Because obviously that contributes to the deficit within SABC. So I'd just like to know, have you investigated that matter? SABC, maybe that's a question again for SABC. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you, Honorable Drukhan. I think it will assist the committee if other members of SABC could also respond at the time of responding. It shouldn't be confined to the chairperson only, because I can hear some of the questions are questions relating to the presentation you had done to us before we sent you back to come and give us. So I think other members of the board can also respond.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I would like to start off by saying there are certain indications that there is improved stability, but what is of a concern is that it does not seem to reflect in the presentation before us. Whilst we all want to see that we're winning this battle to turn around this big ship, I'm not 100% convinced by the presentation before us today. And I would like to just motivate why I'm saying that. And it is not meant to disencourage any member of the board, but I think we should talk straight to each other. In the first instance, my concern is if we're looking at the government guarantee at the conditions, four key drivers were identified, and the performance on those four elements is dismal. If we look at page 5 and we look at page 6 and page 7, the only element that there is a success, little star of achievement, is the establishment of the monitoring task team. And this Chairperson, is how long after the government guarantee was approved and put in place? So just to say that it is extremely disappointing to see that it has come, we've come so long to achieve this point. What I do want to comment on page 5 is at least the fact that we now seem to have a strategic plan. And the corporate plan that will be presented will incorporate the turnaround strategy. That is a positive trend, because part of the past problems that we faced as this committee was exactly that. It seems that there was a complete
ostrich philosophy that was actually within the organization. That one component, that was the board, was acutely aware of the need to revise a strategy, to do all the necessary things to turn around the organization. But there was another component at the SABC who felt that it was business as usual, and it was not reflected in the corporate plan of the organization. So I want to make a comment and say that is progress. I would like to know, on page 6 specifically, I believe that one of the key components was the implementation of the Auditor General serious weaknesses that were identified. Can the SABC today state to us that they've achieved X percent or 70%, and what is the nature of the outstanding matters? Because Honorable Bruchard mentioned the fact that there was a trend and a tendency at the SABC that people employed by the SABC also conducted business. And we must know as a committee that there's a full stop. No further insider trading is taking place. There's a system in place that will expose that sort of activity. Because South Africans are fed up with corruption. And as an organization such as the SABC, it's necessary to know what steps have you taken right now to say, as far as that is concerned, the outstanding matters are now with the prosecuting authority or whatever. But where are we as far as that is concerned? And when are we going to have a full report on this matter? If we can just have certainty from the board today that you can give us the absolute 100% assurance that no further corruption will take place at the SABC. You have put in place the necessary measures, and you will control that. Members have mentioned page 7, the delay of Madam Chair on the shareholder compact. I'm not going to elaborate further on that issue. But what I would like to look at is clearly the 24-hour news channel. I think as a national broadcaster, we would all like to see that. My question is there, as part of the very serious need to reduce costs on staff, is there an audit, skills audit that is being conducted? Is there a complete revision of the organization and how a 24-hour newscast would interlink with the current news channels, etc., so that the SABC would not incur additional further costs for the running of this, but it could actually just become part of the ordinary operations and people could be incorporated? Practically. We are concerned because the feasibility study of the 24-hour news channel it's good that it's being done, but this is incoming quite some time now, and it just seems that we also delay facts and the figures. What will that entail? And then I would like to ask, the critical issue of the SABC is to compete and to succeed in really getting back its audience figure. Page 10, where we're saying you're still not achieving the three most important issues there. It is you've still faced declining audiences. What can that be ascribed to? You still have a question of declining revenue. I understand that part of it is the sports sponsorships, but how will you put an arrest to that? And then serious issue of brand integrity erosion. What steps are taken to do that? Because if you can turn that around, Shepard, then we can really put the SABC back on a sound track and to regain its integrity as a public broadcaster throughout. Lastly, Chairperson, I would like to refer to the previous members have referred to the bloated structure and the costs of employee costs. And I just want to get back to that issue again. It is a matter of concern that we have no clear indications of what is the number crunching Some of my colleagues have asked about the reduction in the headcount. Certain undertakings were given in 2010. Then there was another idea that was mooted that, you know, you would not renew contracts, etc. But that's also not always the answer. You need to have a balance because you cannot lose the type of skills that will put the SABC in a new DTT age, right at the sort of at the front. So what measures do you have to take? What is it? Tell us today. How are you going to do that? How are you going to ensure that the escalation in the staff numbers and the output at the SABC is really talking to each other? And how can you slot in people? Do we have a lot of acting appointments? Do we have a lot of people in disciplinary hearings? Do we have to pay for people that are not reporting for duty? What is it? What is at the core of this problem? And why is it so difficult to get in there and to correct this bloated structure? Because in the end, and that is of a concern, is if you look at the options left for the SABC to broaden its revenue base, are we going to again go back to license holders to say, pay up? Yes, it is for certain families, it is affordable. For some others, it's more difficult to afford the licenses. But ultimately, if we cannot turn the business model around and make it a competitive corporation, ultimately, you will have to fall back on a bailout for government and all license holders. And that is the issue. We must make sure, Shepherd, that the SABC is pulling its socks up in all respects and address the outstanding issues that are actually reflecting poorly on your ability to meet guarantee conditions. And we would also like to know, Chairperson, what would be the revised package that they would like to present as far as government guarantee conditions are. As a committee, we should know, because if you have agreed to certain government guarantee conditions in 2009 and you now want to revise it, how do we know that within 6 months from now or a year, you won't come back to us and say, unfortunately, you cannot meet these government guarantee conditions. How do we, now you want to have them revised again? So it is important for us as a committee to look at the progress made and your real commitment to these guarantees. Otherwise, we who recommend to the House that this be done, we must account to the public of South Africa why we are giving you more and more money again, only to come back and ask yet again for more. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks very much, Chairperson. I've just got a couple of questions to ask. And I suppose I'm in the same boat, unfortunately, as the Honourable Steyn and the other Honourable Member from the DA. Although I don't like to be in the same boat, but I'm also new on the committee. Although I think I'm a little bit one up on the Honourable Steyn, I was an alternate in 2008-2009 at the time of the removal of the SABC board. But it is May. Some of my questions have been asked, but just in relation to the employee costs, I think the question I'd want to ask then is, given the number of points that have been raised, I mean, what are your plans? What are the plans going forward? Because it doesn't seem like you're able to reduce these costs. And in fact, they're just going up. So I think we need to understand, what are the plans going forward? Is it going to be possible? Because it's no good having a plan to reduce costs, but you're never going to do it. So I think there we need to understand what and know what are the plans there. If I look at page 18, in terms of the net loss that has been projected of 92 million, as opposed to a profit of 228 million that was budgeted for, I think this has to be worrying. And you haven't really told us why. What are the reasons for that? And I think we need to understand what are the reasons for this, and what is your plan then for the next financial year? Is it going to be possible to meet that target in the next financial year? or is it not? And I think you need to give a bit more flesh to that and tell us exactly what the situation is. If I, you know, looking on page 20 to 22 of your presentation, you have a number of, I suppose, yeah, you talk about turnaround project principles, but little robots indicate life there. And on all three of those pages, the majority are delayed. And only 1, 2, 3, 4 are on track. Four are behind, only 1, 2, 3 are actually on track. Now, if these are turnaround principles, whatever you want to call them, that were set at the time of this guarantee, why are we not able to meet these? Why are most of these delayed? Doesn't make sense to me. Maybe there's reasons that I don't know. But I think we need to be told here, why are we in this kind of situation? And I think the real important question is, when are all of these going to be on track? That is the little green light that you have. Because this worries me. It really does worry me. It shows that we actually not, we set targets, we set a whole range of commitments, but we're just not on par. We're just not meeting them. Were those ever going to be achievable? Are there actually reasons for us being in this current situation? Yes, the shareholder compact issue has been raised, but you know, that's on page 7 of your presentation, but the question I'd like to just, or the point I'd like to raise, that's the shareholder compact for the year 2011-2012, which ends in exactly 1 month's time. Now, you say it hasn't been signed, but it also says it's partially achieved. But if it gets signed now, what does it actually mean? Because the year's ending, and what is it going to help? I'd like to understand. Or is it that there is this shareholder compact, it's now awaiting signature? Is it that regardless of the signature, many of those things were being implemented, or is it just going to be an exercise to sign? And then we can say we've achieved it. So I think we need to just be given a little bit more information around that. My last question, Chair, really relates to page 8. And it talks about this monitoring task team, which has been established. And it says there it meets on a monthly basis to consider reports from the SABC. And it says achieved. Now, I guess that's in terms of the establishment of the monitoring task team. Perhaps we could be told exactly what is this monitoring task team doing. Because if it's receiving reports, I imagine it's reports relating to some of the commitments, etc., that have been made and targets that have been set. What power does this monitoring task team have? Because if we haven't achieved a particular thing and it comes before the monitoring task team, what does the monitoring task team do with it? And who listens to the monitoring task team? Because I think that the monitoring task team's job, I would imagine, is to make sure that we are on progress, if I understand correctly. And so I think it would be helpful if we could just be told, how long is the monitoring task team being in place, and how effective is it? What teeth does it have? And does anybody listen to it? Because that would also then be able to give us the assurance as to where we are going forward, as to whether we're actually going to be able to deal with many of these outstanding issues and those sections and departments within the SABC who may not be compliant with the commitments made. And I think for me that is important, because we can ask all the other questions, but if this monitoring task team is not effective and nobody listens to it, then we have a problem, in my opinion. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Greg. There it is. It cannot be business as usual. And we cannot have a monitoring task team that seems to be an extension of the board. Can you deal with this? This is the first lap. We'll have a second lap. And then I'll take. Dump, you want to come in? I had noted you. Yes.
Okay, Chairperson. Thank you.
One would like to acknowledge the progress made thus far, but this issue of partially achieved is an area of concern on our part. On page 5 of your presentation, one is worried that the detailed turnaround strategy has taken long to develop. What are the reasons for this delay? I'm also worried that the consultant will be working on this, and I believe there are costs involved to that effect. In essence, I'm asking, why have they taken so long to deliver? And then, exactly, there's a date of the 29th of February written there on page 5. But my question still remains, when will Parliament actually get a finalized turnaround strategy approved by the board? When you look on page 6 of the presentation, it's only the implementation of the issues raised by the AG. I'm mindful that a separate report will be presented to this committee next week. But I believe when this report is presented to us, it should indicate the reason for the delay of implementation of the AG's recommendation. And then we'll also expect the report to indicate when will the process be concluded and what are the key areas that still need to be worked on. And then when you go to page 7 of your presentation, it's a follow-up on what my other colleagues have indicated with regard to the shareholders' contact. Can you share with us, because I believe DOC has reported that the minister has signed in his presentation, but can you also share with us what are the cost-cutting measures that have been included in this shareholder compact? And then the other one is on page 8 of the monitoring task team. Comrade Craig has already raised certain issues, but I think it's high time ourselves as the committee, we need to know. You have introduced yourself, but want to understand what roles do you have, what responsibility, the level, maybe the seriousness of this monitor task team. Also, maybe, can you share with us your terms of reference? Because I believe your terms of reference were very clear that you need to do 1, 2, 3. And those things were never shared with us in the committee. When you look at page 9 of the presentation, on the 24-hour news channel, why is the business plan still not yet developed? And then I can see that you have appointed consultant, ITN consultant. Who are they? Who are these ITN consultants, their expertise, and what cost? And at what cost, and when will the job be complete? And then you move to page 10. On the SABC 3 turnaround strategy. Can you share with us what are the key elements of the turnaround strategy? And then how do you intend to turn around the channel? I'm raising this because this has been a problem for a while. And then maybe there is any progress to that effect that you can also share with us. Then on page 11, on the sponsorship revenue, the question is that why was this target not achieved? The second one on the sponsorship, are sponsors and advertisers undermining the SABC's editorial independence? Is the SABC maintaining full editorial control over its programming? Okay, I'm about to finish. On page 12, the issue of people costs has been raised. And then my question is that the reason for the delay is there is the delay in approving the operating model and organizational structure. The question is that when is this actually going to be approved? Can you please, at least for a change, put a date on the table here today, because we have been seeing this time and again. And then the other issue is on the issue, can you also talk to the issue on the decrease of content spending? I see here there was 1.597 billion versus the 2 billion achieved one. So can you also talk to it, given the lack of spending, is the SABC meeting its local context quotas. You look at that and you also need to tell us about that. The last one is on page 13. One would like to acknowledge the good that the revenue has increased with regard to the licensing. But why are the costs going high? Can you please unpack the reasons for the costs that are going high? You talk about increased programming costs, but then also talk about reduction in content. Can you unpack it more so that we can know? Has the SAB actually spent more or less on programming over the last year? And then, why are you also saying that the status of the turnaround project are delayed? All, like I've indicated, all the same, you're saying the project has been delayed. And then I also want Treasury now to come to the party here to say, given the current status quo, and then there's one recommendation to request for further funding and also for the amendment of the loan guarantee. What is Treasury saying about all this? I think Treasury should also come to the party and tell us.
Thank you. Those are the questions for now. Can you please respond to them?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, for the questions and comments. I think we would share the questions amongst the team. I think SABC will also come to the table. But I thought perhaps before I invite other team members to comment, I thought I would start with the monitoring task team so that we can perhaps just develop the understanding before we get into the other questions. That the team was established in 2010 jointly by the two ministers, Minister of Communications as well as Minister of Finance. And the officials serving in the team were then appointed or nominated by two ministers. The terms of reference of the committee was developed. And I will just highlight one or two deliverables of the committee or outputs. The committee is expected to sit on a monthly basis to look at the performance of the SABC, essentially looking at the financial performance as well as the overall turnaround to ensure that the plans that drive the turnaround at the SABC are indeed in place, and the SABC follows those plans. And of course, the interest of the team will be the results that come out of the implementation of such plans. Now, in terms of the powers of the committee can only recommend to the ministers, and then, of course, the ministers are then expected to take up the matter with the board. That is one process. Then the second process is because we have the officials from the SABC sitting in the team, they are then expected to take the recommendations of the monitoring task team back to the board as well as the executives and make sure that those are actioned. I think I must indicate to the committee that the role of the committee is only limited to looking at the report and recommending, but not necessarily to do the actual work, which is where the challenge may be, perhaps, because if, say, for example, a plan has not been developed, the committee cannot then say we're stepping in and developing this plan, because then it goes against the mandate of the committee. The reason being that there is a full team of executives, there is a board in place, and therefore they are expected to make sure that they carry out the recommendations of the monitoring team. I think going back to the questions that were raised, starting with Honorable Stein, I'm going to ask my colleague from Treasury to talk about the 1.4 billion versus the 1 billion, and then I would then invite the colleagues from the SABC to address the other issues. I think the Group CEO will assist us with some of the other issues. Thanks, Chair.
Mkopana Makase from the National Treasury. Thank you, Chair. At the time of the application for the guarantee and all the analysis that was done, the National Treasury was dealing with the then interim board of the SABC that was put in place for a few months. The analysis showed that the SABC at that time was in need of funding to the tune of $1.473 billion. We then took the recommendation to the Guarantee Certification Committee, who made a recommendation to the Minister that the entire amount of $1.473 billion be approved. However, only an amount of 1 billion rand was available for immediate drawdown by the SABC. The remaining amount of 473 million was to be contingent on the SABC meeting certain milestones that were put in place at the time of the immediately available 1 billion rand. Subsequent to that, the SABC in discussion had indicated that due to the ongoing changes in the financial position, there was no need to draw down on the remaining 473 million rand. So 1.473 was approved, but only a billion has been made available. And at the time, current government's exposure through the loan is 1 billion rand. Thank you. Sorry, perhaps I just answer a few other questions related to this. A question was raised regarding the loan to NetBank, whether or not any amount had been paid back to the bank at the time. The loan from NetBank was a 5-year term loan on the conditions were a 2-year moratorium on the capital repayment, which means that for the first 2 years, 24 months, the SABC was liable to pay only the interest portion of the loan. And then the remaining 3 years thereafter, the capital repayment plus the interest would then be payable by the SABC. During the course of 2011, in terms of the capital repayments, even though they were not due at the time, the SABC has paid before an amount of 110 million rand towards reducing their capital as part of their strategy to reduce their capital repayments. So to date, interest payments have been paid since the loan was made available, plus the capital portion has been reduced by an amount of 110 million by the SABC during the course of, I think, over 2 month period in 2011.
I am expecting that people would be responding to the questions as they were put forward.
Okay. Right, thanks.
Before you come in, I don't know whether the response from the Treasury is sufficient. Because I think the other concern that was raised here is how the 473 million that was remaining is going to be used. And I think being part of the MTT, you are really charged with seeing that the targets are met and the cost cutting and the effective oversight that you have to also give. I thought you are going to elaborate more on the question that came from there.
May I just supplement your question just to ask, can anybody in the board also just tell us what is the exact oversight role of the board over the MTT? Or do you get regular reports? How do you manage the turnaround strategy? Because ultimately, according to law, the board is responsible, and we must know what is the interrelation between the board and the MTT. Thank you.
Good morning, Honorable MPs. My name is Lerato Nage from the SABC. I will elaborate further on our debt profile regarding the term loan of the NetBank loan. It is true that 7 months ahead of time we prepaid 110 million. That gave us a saving on interest charge of 6 million. To date, for this fiscal, we've paid interest charge of 55 million to the net bank loan, meaning that overall we are proving that we can be able to reduce our debt. And going further, by the end of March, we will be looking at our whole balances to try and restructure it with a particular focus on the term loan as it stands. We would, there's many structures that we would look at. We've already issued an RFI request for information to the board to apply its mind on it. The whole idea is to say, if you look at the financial performance of SABC in 08-09, they made an operating loss of 790 million. And even though things have not drastically improved, we are projecting to make a loss of 92 million as we stood in December. However, at the end of January, you are projecting to make a loss of 10 million. It is on the backdrop of that we've looked at to say that when the conditions of the term loan were entered into, we were in a very dire situation. The corporation has tried to improve a little or substantially to begin to build a case to say that we want to look at the terms that are involved in that. And with regards to the 473, that were conditions that were attached to the 473, SABC, the colleagues would recall that in April 2010, we made it clear that we won't be needing to access the extra 473 because we wanted to generate the money from the business. To date, at the end of January, we have a cash balance of 1.02 billion in our bank. Granted, there are other projects that we haven't executed against. However, if the colleagues would recall in the annual report, the finance section made it clear that we are looking at working capital management, making sure that our creditors' days are smoothed properly and are in line with our debtors' days. From the turnaround project, we've recovered cash of 140 million in overdue debtors. We've resolved credit notes or differences that were there to the tune of 40 million, meaning that from that project on its own, we recovered 180 million. So I hope I've clarified the issue of 473, that we won't be accessing that money. And the reasons why, because we wanted to show to the nation that we can generate the money from our normal operations.
Well, Chairperson, I'm talking in terms of the question regarding board oversight. We get monthly management reports from Mr. Nache, our acting CFO. We track the performance of all the divisions.
Listen, I expect you to introduce yourself. Some of the members are here.
Oh, sorry. Thank you. I'm Ben Ngubane, Chairperson of the SAPC Board. I was responding to the query on the oversight role of the SAPC. We've had an incredible number of meetings of the board, some regular board meetings, some special board meetings. We are hoping that with the appointment of the new CEO and the CFO and the other positions that will be filled, this will enable the board to recede into the background and just carry on the ordinary normal oversight functions. The board was forced to be operational because of the situation we found ourselves. So we've been tracking monthly management reports which feed into the MTT. As we said here, this is like a huge warship, an aircraft carrier. You cannot just turn it around in a short cycle. It's been a major, major effort, and I think this portfolio committee owes this board a sentiment of appreciation, because this was a sinking ship, literally, when we came in January 2010. Most of us have our own business. We've sacrificed our own time and our businesses to do this national service with legal compensation, paying a lot from our own pockets. So really, what is being said by the MTT is what has been achieved. A lot of it, obviously, say for instance, the shareholder compact. This went to the ministry probably 6 or 8 months earlier, but there were some corrections they wanted. So we went back to our divisions. And it's a number of divisions.
that get involved in such corrective measures. So this compact has been signed, but it's things that have been operationalized from the previous time we sent it to the ministry. We are having now a corporate plan going forward. Most of what is in this compact is going to transform to the next shareholder compact. It will simply be a carryover. So there is no failure in terms of a blueprint of how we are working, of how we are working with the shareholder. It's all there. If we wanted to, we can pay this loan one time. We have over R1 billion in the bank. But it is prudent to pay it in stages, because there are many other aspects of transformation that we need to address. We have put out an RFP book, which is very comprehensive, which is a lot of money for local content. It's been put out already. We have been locked into lifetime series with Hollywood film companies, not because of our choice, but because of what we found at the SABC, where people signed agreements locking us into Bold and Beautiful and many other soapies like that. Whenever they produce the soap, you have to pay for it. We have to buy it. So this has resulted in a lowered spend on international content, because of this very heavy obligation that we have to live by. But South Africans are enjoying Bold and Beautiful, so it's okay, because we are still getting advertising revenue on those programs. Some of the problems are historical. We have tried to wrestle with them. The issue of numbers. We committed to reduce numbers at the SABC. But when we went back to a second take, we discovered most of these numbers grew because of the license conditions which were enacted by ICASA in terms of language provision, universal access in terms of language, in radio and TV. This created a need to employ far more people, because you have to have a high quality of language in every language you service. The issue of programming, losing huge amounts of income in terms of sponsorship. ICASA has laid down the rule on sports of national interest. When a cricket match is playing in this country, when a soccer match like the CAF match is playing, we have to remove our programs to show the match. When we do that, we lose millions of rands at a time. Those are issues that are beyond our control to a very large extent. And this is why we've been struggling with sponsorship, because when you remove a program, we have to issue credit notes to the companies that bought the advertisement, that bought the airtime, that eats into our revenue. Well, I can go on, Chairperson, with a lot of challenges that we are grappling with. However, I just want to underscore what the MTT has said. Progress is being made. It is tangible progress. We are not going to need the extra 473 million. We don't need it. And as I say, we can pay tomorrow this debt, but it is prudent not to do so, but to do it in stages. As far as the issue, well, for instance, with the CAF games, we lost 19 million, you know, just like that, because we had to show flight these games daily. You know, I even suggested, why can't we do the opening, the quarterfinal, you know, and then the semifinal, and then the final. And it was clear that the audiences in South Africa will not tolerate that. We established that very quickly, so we had to show the games as they were going on all the time, but it cost us 19 million rand. So have been other games costing the same. As far as the issue of the Auditor General, Honorable Killian, we have a report here. We have achieved 67% of the implementation of the Auditor General's recommendations. Some of it is with the Special Investigation Unit, which is working under the Presidential Proclamation to investigate cases of corruption. Some of it is sub judice. We cannot deal with it on an open platform. But work has been done. We could have presented this report, but we got a request that you should come back on the 6th to deal with this matter. So I will ask our colleague here, the CEO, to deal with other technical matters. But I'm just trying to assure the Portfolio Committee that we have serious people on this board who are giving the best shot they can give to make the SABC a national asset that it should be. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning. Okay. I think we are chatting from different areas. I had Mr. Gordon's hand up. And the next person will be Honorable Ms. Mahlatsi.
No, I'm covered by the input that has been given by the chairperson of the board. Save to add on two issues that at an institutional level, issues of turnaround and the government guaranteed are dealt with at the turnaround committee. Secondly, the audit committee has got a standing item on the financial performance of the SABC. So at a board oversight, there is a particular solid involvement by the board. But as I indicated, that I think the chair substantively covered me. Thank you.
Thank you. I rise to speak as the chair of RISC and say that with respect to the conduct of the MTT, there are definitely certain procedural inconsistencies in my estimation in this respect. That whilst the board is not operational, and certainly the MTT is envisaged, I am not quite aware of what the terms of the MTT are, but I'm absolutely certain that the board ought to be conducting its oversight role with respect to what is going on at the MTT. And I also am aware of the fact that from a risk perspective, we should be submitting risk reports. And that in one area that I believe that we ought to tighten up, and certainly from an MTT perspective, that the chairman ought to ascertain for himself that the documentation that is flowing through there has had minimally the blessing of the board, either before or after it has been submitted. Thanks.
Thank you. I'm going to allow the CEO to come in. I'm sorry I had to give the opportunity to people who had their hands up.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I'm Lula Mamukobo, the new group CEO of the SABC. I think I'm coming in at a highly opportune moment when the company is coming out of a very bad spell of financial issues, staffing issues, and programming matters that have remained unresolved. I must say that the report that sits before you is actually a retrospective report and does not provide insights as to how we're going to be moving forward. Having started in this function and now being joined by the new CFO, I think it's important for the House to note that the board did an astounding job in trying to help the organization along at a time when there was serious lack of skills, where there were acting positions, people doing functions that are extremely critical. Advocate Gawe has spoken about the risk aspect. These things have been managed by people who've been acting and in many instances having serious shortage of skills themselves. Now that the company is stabilizing, I am here. Ms. Gugu Duda, who is the new CFO, is also here. Please forgive me, I do this all the time. She has joined me. We are going to be rapidly looking at all the structural issues, the strategic issues that need to be dealt with. As I'm speaking on Thursday and Friday, we are going to be unpacking the shareholder compact, the corporate plan, and whatever is contained in there is going to now inform how we move the business going forward. In other words, every single business unit will be seized with ensuring that the company delivers on every single aspect that is raised in the corporate plan as an area of focus. Now, the corporate plan is inclusive of the matters that have come out of the MTT, the matters that have to do with the government guarantee, and certainly it does also touch on the issues of corruption, risk management, and how moving forward we should be applying ourselves to ensuring no corruption continues within the organization. Having said that, I will attempt to respond to the specific questions that have been asked by the members present here. The question of the strategy of the SABC 3 is top on the list for us to deal with. There are really two main issues pertaining to SABC 3. The one is the content, quality of content, and the ability of the content to attract viewership. The second one is the marketing of the channel. And the marketing it goes directly to the question of drawing audiences so that they can have appointment viewing. They can know that their program is coming up and they will sit there and watch the program. I'm keenly aware of the reputation erosion that the SABC has suffered, and that reputation erosion has caused viewers to cast aspersions on a lot of the content that is run on SABC platforms. There is certainly a perception that the SABC is a repeat organization, that we do not have new content, and I beg to differ. There is new content that has come into the SABC since I started, and content that was commissioned quite a while back. As an organization, we do have to be very careful also to amortize our programming costs. And how we amortize those costs is indeed to enter into a repeat strategy. What has been missing is a very clear strategic direction in terms of how the repeats are played out so that they do not give the impression that the SABC is only about repeats. Dr. Ngubane has already mentioned that an RFP book did go out in November of last year. The closing date for a lot of the responses, the final closing date was end of January. I do know that the commissioning editors are now reviewing all of the proposals that they have received. It normally takes about 3 months from the date of a contract being awarded to a producer to when we see it on air for the viewers to start seeing the difference. I'm therefore fairly confident that by the end of March, we will have a very clear view of what has come forward. And yes, indeed, that we are looking at documentary content because we view documentaries as one of the key ways of informing our viewers. When that comes out, we will then be able to schedule, and I am certain South Africans are going to see a much more improved content offering by the SABC. A question has been asked on headcount. It is a vexing matter which has been lingering for a long time at SABC. I was asked to focus on that as a specific item as well, which is not only contained in the MTT report, but also continues to be a serious concern for the organization. Over the next 2 days, Thursday and Friday, and a few more days moving forward, we're going to be getting into a very intense study session, and part of that session is going to focus on understanding the skills profile we currently have at the SABC. So the skills audit is central to the work that we're going to be doing. Further to that, my voice is kind of... I don't know. Thank you. Further to that, we are going to review the organizational structure. because I'm of the firm view, and it is shared by the entire board and my new colleague who has come in, the CFO, we cannot pin down a structure until we've pinned down the strategy. And the strategy has to focus on the entire business and look at the entire value chain within the business. And then it will pinpoint exactly where we need what skills. And that then translates into a structure. I'm expecting that we will be able to come back to the board when it has its sitting. I think the sitting is on the 28th of March. I'm expecting that we will be able to come back to the board with a structure, a business strategy that they will be able to look at and inform us as to whether they believe it will work or it will not work. And following that, if there's any tweaking to be done, we'll do it. And once the board says they are satisfied with where we are going, we will be implementing immediately. And I am one for having hard numbers to reflect the targets that we decide on. SABC 3 already has fairly firm targets in terms of audiences, in terms of revenue, and because it is our commercial channel, it will get the critical focus it requires in terms of being prioritized for it to be able to compete very effectively with other commercial broadcasters that are in effect independent and do not have to deliver so quickly on Monday as SABC3 has to. We are going to be reviewing all of those and making sure that we can deliver. The question of sponsorship revenue has come out quite consistently. And the question has been, why is it so difficult for us to raise sponsorship? I can respond in two ways. The first is that there was a dramatic change in trends in how media houses planned to spend their money. The SABC saw a reduction in the want, the appetite to spend on content, but an increase in the need and want to spend on classical advertising. So the figures that you have seen that show how we performed on the classical advertising side will show, and I'm sure you have seen that, they show quite a substantial increase in revenues attained from classical advertising. Secondly, we are now, myself and Mr. Mutsuning Saudi, who's acting COO, in very intense consultations with some of the sporting codes, the biggest of which is soccer. We are engaged with them on developing very strong strategic initiatives on jointly seeking sponsorship so that we can be able to meet both the mandate requirements as spelled out in our license conditions on the sporting codes, but also be able to deliver on the revenue requirements that we absolutely have to meet in terms of the government guarantee. These conversations are going to be turned into strategy sessions where we are going to attempt as far as we possibly can to plan well in advance for all the sports that will have to come on our platforms, plan exactly when they will come through, and make sure that the sporting codes and their management understand that the times that they will be allocated are times that they absolutely must utilize, so that we can minimize the incidents that the chairman spoke about of us having to pay credit notes and losing substantial amounts of money, such as the 19 million rands that has been reported on the CAF games. So effectively, our schedules will be structured in such a manner that we will, the only time we will have to drop content will be when a massive, completely unexpected event takes place. which is a matter of national importance and therefore we are obligated to carry. However, on matters that can be planned moving forward, we will be meeting, including with our parliamentary colleagues on the programs of government, etc. We will be coming to them so that we get absolute clarity on which dates they anticipate the things will be happening, and we pin those down and we agree. We will have SLAs, service level agreements that say once we have agreed on a slot, everybody has signed off on it, that is how it's going to pan out. Therefore, I am certain, my dear parliamentarians, that moving forward, the issue of credit notes will be minimized purely through thorough planning and ensuring that all the stakeholders that have that participate on our channels understand the importance of staying with the schedules that we'll structure. The employee compensation costs, I was still talking about that. Sorry, I jumped around and started addressing other issues while talking about employees. We have to make sure that when we conclude our strategy, and the strategy, the corporate strategy is also going to look at the 24-hour news channel. It will look at the feasibility of the channel, the business plan, the costs. I'm aware that ATN has provided a view of how we should proceed with that channel. We need to engage it as management now and understand it very deeply and decide how we are going to be moving forward on the 24-hour news channel. Now, the employee base that we're looking at has to be available should we proceed with the employee, with the channel in the near future. But also we have the DTT horizon coming up at us. And when you run a multi-platform universe as a corporation, it's crucial that you have the best brains, but more than anything else, people who really understand the business. Those people are among the staff that has been labeled as bloated. What I would request from the members, and that request has also gone to National Treasury in the form of requesting relaxation of some of the requirements. We are requesting that we be given time to review our DTT strategy, review the 24-hour news strategy, agree how we are going to be fulfilling our obligations in terms of those platforms and the manpower that's required. And that manpower will come out of the very same staff that is currently viewed as bloating the organization. At this point, I'm unable to say categorically at which point would we be able to launch all of those at full complement from content and from a staffing perspective, because the review process has to take a while. But also, I think it's important to note that we are in an environment where we have labor unions who very appropriately look after the needs, the requirements, and the safety, if I may call it that, of employees. So whatever we do with the employees will have to be negotiated with the trade unions. They are waiting for us to come back to them and tell them how we're going to be doing a whole range of things. And I must emphasize that we are going to be involving them at every turn of developing our strategy, because the SABC is a people-intensive organization. It cannot function without people. And therefore, the labor unions are going to be very critical to ourselves as we plan our main plan moving forward, so that they are on board, they understand what the critical issues are, they buy into the processes we are going to engage, and also they assist us with a massive area of training that we're going to have to invest in and how we will manage all of that. In a very long way, Madam Chair, I have attempted to go through the questions in a very broad strokes type of way. If the members are not satisfied and they still would like to probe some of the issues I've put on the table, I'll be happy to entertain further questions. Thank you.
Thank you, CEO. Dr. Makhaja, I know you wanted to come in. I just want to comment. I am very disturbed here by the response that was given to the committee by the chair of the CEO. I would really appreciate that you do really appreciate the fact that we are public representative chairs. And here we represent the public and the concern of the public. And we cannot go back and table a report that doesn't respond to the, to what they're concerned about. And I suppose people take up positions knowingly that they are expected to do this and that. And I don't expect the response that you gave to us to be very much pleasing to the members of the committee. So I think it's my responsibility as the acting chair at the moment to really say we didn't expect such a response from you. And then what we are expecting from the MTT is what we told them to bring to us, what we required. And that is nothing else but the turnaround strategy and all that we are, the members are raising right now. And I don't think there's anything that could really disturb you so much to tell us all what you have told us.
Thank you, Chair. I would like to talk to three issues. There was a question asked on the key elements of the turnaround strategy. I'd also like to little bit dwell into the board oversight role, and lastly, to take over where the chair left in terms of transformation imperatives. If I come to the first question of key elements in the turnaround strategy, that's to refresh the members of the House. There are four key elements. The first one is the resource perspective, which is focusing on the staff and the technology that we use. The second one is internal business processes, which is focusing on the alignment of the functions. The third one is stakeholder perspective, which is focusing on all the external stakeholders, including the regulations that impact on SABC. And lastly, the financial perspective that includes the corporate governance. So those are the four key elements in terms of the question asked. If I go to the back to the board oversight role, I want to highlight and put to the attention of the House that last year in November, we embarked on a serious oversight role. Board members went to all the provinces where SABC exists. We started our journey in Polokwane. We further went to Bloemfontein, Port Elizabeth, Durban, Mafikeng, Umtata, Bishop, Tshwane, North Strait, Cape Town, Kimberley, and ended up in Auckland Park. In those consultations, we have to understand this is a process, and process demands change management. And for change management to happen, there must be consultations. We consulted with all the employees of SABC. We noted down all the issues that were raised, and they came down to about 32 common issues that were raised across the board. There's been an issue to say, why the delay? Why have you achieved three, and why haven't you achieved the other four? I'll answer to that, why the delay. If you look at that, there's a line item which says DAF, Delegation of Authority Framework. That is key. And the other elements are linked to that. If you haven't addressed that, the other elements cannot be fully addressed. That is the reason why there's been delayed. There will be a board strategic review on the 15th and 16th of March, where all these issues that were raised by the employees will be tabled to say we did our work and this is where we are. I must highlight that a committee of five people, including Mr. Danana, Ms. Boss, Advocate Mahlatsi, myself, and Ms. Mthimde, really worked hard on this provincial visit fact-finding mission, and we compiled a report in terms of our findings. However, there was another committee of Ms. Claire O'Neill and Professor Pepper Green that looked at the content summit, where we spent time with television, radio, sports, and news to actually understand where are the challenges, where are the gaps, and all these efforts are really in terms of our board oversight role. So I wanted to put that on the table to say that is happening and seriously happening. The third point in terms of transformation. Last week, Friday, we had our board sitting, and we actually highlighted this point that in the next meeting we'll delve into this issue of transformation imperatives. I think we are all aware of the seven pillars of transformation, and I wouldn't even dwell into ownership because we are a state-owned entity. However, in terms of management and control, the employment equity, skills development, preferential procurement, enterprise development, socio-economic development, we are in the process. We know that as a state-owned entity, we are required to have a certain level of compliance, but most importantly, how does that impact on our turnaround strategy? Because as everybody is worried about the headcounts, that should be seen as an opportunity where we can actually use the enterprise development pillar to make sure that if people who have skills, even if they don't have skills, who need to acquire skills to start their own enterprises, we can actually encourage that, because the gone are the days when the organizations are going to employ huge numbers of people. We need to focus our energies on developing our SMEs, and enterprise development is a key to that. So I want to assure the House that the board is really committed to seeing this ship turning around. Maybe the chair might not have alluded it in terms of all the statistics, but I think we are speaking the same language and we are with you. Yes, it could be frustrating if you are sitting on the other side of the table to say that you don't see this. Why is this not happening speedily? As I said, decisions are not made on the 28th floor boardroom of Auckland Park. Decisions are made on the ground. We need to consult the people. We need to make sure that the vision that we have, everybody is buying into it. Because even if this board can have that vision of leadership, if they're not taking the workforce along with them, then it will never, we will never turn our strategy into actions. And I just want to appraise people in this room that this is where we are. I thank you, Chair.
You will be the last one.
Thank you, Chairperson and Honourable Members. I just want to first just put the Chair's comments in perspective. I think the Chair was trying to indicate that the Board is serious and the Board is working hard to make sure that that this ship does not sink.
Honourable, I thought you were responding to it.
No, I'm coming to that, Chairperson.
Yeah, and I don't expect you really to be the spokesperson of the Chairperson at this moment.
Chairperson, the point I wanted to emphasize is that I think the report as tabled by the MTT does show that there is indeed serious progress. The fact that we no longer need the 473 million, the fact that there is increased revenue generated, the loss has been reduced, stability has been achieved at executive management level, because it is impossible to expect that as the board we could continue for our entire term of office being not non-executive, but rather more operational. It is impossible and not good in terms of good governance. And I think we've achieved that, and we're hoping that our new leadership in terms of executive management is going to assist us close the gaps in terms of those areas that are yet to be achieved, which you will see when we come back and present our annual report, that there is a few of those, And I think Mr. Vilakazi did indicate when he was speaking that some of the matters in the slides are outdated because the slides were prepared at the time when we were preparing to make submissions here. And through the responses to questions, we have covered some of those gaps to show the progress that has been made from the day the slides were submitted and to date. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Mkinde. I've got a second lap, and the person who's going to speak first is Honorable Keka.
Thanks, Chair. When I raised my head that you say you are looted, that helps me to relax because that helps. I think you haven't seen me. Just a quick thing. The one thing that I don't understand, while we are also critical about SABC, is that in that bad spell that we've gone through, say the 2008 up to the present period, and I've raised this in the past, there was this big event of Soccer World Cup that they did so well. I want to ask them, how did they manage? Do you first want an international thing before you can perform, or what is it? Because you did so well, you surprised all of us. Everybody was saying the World Cup was so well done by SABC. And this is during the period. How did you do it? Did you get outside support from the SABC itself? If so, at least that support is in South Africa. You can identify those skills and bring them on board. Because really, 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 it was almost like a miracle there where the whole world is here. And while you can perform at home, but you're performing with such a big, big global event. I just want to know what you think the reasons were. The second thing, Chair, I support really. I personally don't think what is going wrong with SABC is necessarily because of the golden handshake that happened in this country, in the army. The old guards, when they were not happy with the transformation, they got golden handshakes to stabilize the army. In local government, all over the show, structures of government, golden handshakes were always there, not as a wastage of resources, but as resources that were used by human beings to destabilize their culture so that institutions could run smooth. The commitment, I think, is just that things probably, as it is normal, people will do good things, but at the same time, it's human nature, it's inherent, it's intrinsic that people can always abuse. All of us here, nobody is better than the other. If given an opportunity, it is in our bloodstream that we can abuse. That's why we then build systems, mechanisms to prevent human beings from abusing resources, power, whatever, because that is inherent in human beings all over the world right here. Now, this is why we're concerned about the structure, the organogram that we have shown that it is going to be reviewed and so on. But my major issue, Chair, is I'm referring to the chair of the SABC this time. When you say we seem bold and beautiful, that was a historical commitment and we're legally still bound to it. And if people like it, that is fine. I don't think I'm happy with that because though people might be watching it and loving it and adverts coming in, I think our job is to transform really. If the bold of beautiful is teaching kind of value system and belief system that you're not happy with. I mean, if they teach, for example, riches, like people are rich there, daddy falls in love with his son's girlfriend, those are immoral, and we say that people will like it. People might like it, but it is indoctrinated, it is inculcating wrong value systems. And when people are corrupt and everybody wants to buy a Rolls Royce, we get surprised. I mean, we've taught them that that is a lifestyle. And therefore, the transformation must take place. And whether the contract is there, you should tell us that there's a struggle to transform those contracts and get the content that we think adds value to our society. The last point that I want to make, Chair, is on staff, that we're shown an organogram in the past. I think it was based on a strategic plan. Maybe that is going to be reviewed. But fundamentally, the content that we think we help you with is this one, that the content must address our issues in the country. If there's unemployment, you don't even need to go and consult and ask people if they need jobs. It is there, it's written on the wall. People need jobs in this country to combat poverty. And we'd like to see media talking about those things, how people can become artisans, what kind of skills are needed, encouraging people and so on. I think that will be better than the bold and the beautiful. And I'm not jealous for anybody who's bold and beautiful, but I just think there's poverty in this country, and we should see the focus of SABC be on this big plight of the country that we think, if addressed, that will make us all of us happy. I would like to hear your comments, because content is going to be a big issue, and we can't just be happy and say historically there were contracts there for people like those contracts. If you tell my children you want to go to school or watch TV, they'll tell you, I want to watch TV and not go to school. But we know, as a parent, that going to school, though it might not look good now, in the future they'll thank you and say, thanks for forcing me to go to school. I just want you to talk more about content, that those historical contracts, what is the title to change them? Thanks, Chair.
Honorable Singh.
Thank you, Chairperson. There were one or two questions, I believe, that weren't answered, and then I've just got another one or two. The first one was addressed to Mr. Vilakazi, and I think I very honestly asked him to tell us here and now whether he, as the chair of the MTT, is happy with the report that he's produced to us and what he receives. In response to the Honourable Schneeman's question, they meet monthly. Now, as a monitoring team, I would imagine when they get the monthly report and they compare it against targets that were set, and those targets are clearly not going to be met, then plans need to be put in place to find ways of achieving those targets. Now, it's been, and correct me if I'm wrong, but we're looking at roughly about 20 months since the guarantee was issued, and it's more than halfway through the period. And certainly, and I accept what some of the other members said, but the report that we see, and we don't have the institutional knowledge that they've got, the report that is before us does not indicate to me that they are doing well in terms of those conditions. The second question, and the CEO touched on it very briefly, that I asked was, they're talking about reviewing, and I've heard the word now, relax, and that was precisely my question. Are they going back to Treasury and saying, you know, we need to now change these conditions to really adapt them to what the actual results are? Which is obviously not what we want to do if we can help that. But it does concern me that the board, and I do appreciate that they do good work, and they came on when you know, the seas were rough, so to speak. But the fact of the matter is, at the time, these targets and conditions were accepted. Now, from somebody new to the committee, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking to myself, well, you know what? It wasn't taken seriously. It was accepted in order to get the guarantee. And now that you're actually in the arena, now you find that it's too hot for you, and you want to change the conditions. Chair, just in terms of two new questions, another question that I asked is, in the report here, there's very little reference to the 2011-2012 financial year. It talks about 2010, 2011, and then 2013. Which I find strange. But on page 80, it very specifically says the SABC is projecting to realize a net loss of 92 million by year end. Now, I'm assuming it's this 11-12 year end. And at the same time, we've heard that they're sitting with a cash balance of over 1 billion rand. Now, if I sit with a cash balance of a billion rand, and then I'm telling you, I mean, overdraft by 92 million or something, it doesn't make sense to me. Now, the question related to this, and I understand you being prudent and not wanting to pay off your loan because I don't know what the conditions of the loan. I've got an excess account with Standard Bank, so I can put money into my bond when I've got extra money and reduce my interest, and when I need it, I can take out of it. I don't know if you can do that to limit your interest payment, obviously, if you're sitting with excess cash, because you're certainly not getting the sort of interest on that cash in the bank that you would if you had to put half of it, say, into your loan. But I don't know if that can be done, but I'd like to hear. Then just the last thing, Chairperson, that I'm a little bit worried about is, from the information that I got, I assume that this guarantee is only in effect until 2013-14, and yet your loan with NetBank is over 5 years, which goes into an extra financial year. Now, what are the consequences for that last year when the guarantee has basically lapsed and you still owe? And I mean, you've indicated already in 2013-14, you're going to be another 800 million in the red again. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Greg.
Chair, just to say, I think a couple of questions I've asked haven't really been answered. So it would be helpful if we could get some answers, but I'm not sure. I don't want to go through all of them again, but some of the questions I asked haven't been necessarily answered. But I'm a bit concerned about a statement that was made just now. And that statement was, I forget who made it, but telling us that these slides are outdated. And that, if I understood correctly, that some of this information has changed. Now, if that was actually said, I have a problem. Are we being given information that's not accurate? Because it was clearly said that some of these slides are outdated and it's old information. And that concerns me. How old is this information? What information has changed from when these slides were put together? In fact, when were these slides put together? It just worries me and concerns me that we may be giving information here that is actually not accurate. I would imagine if there's a presentation being made, the information that would be provided in the presentation would be up to date. And I'd like clarification on that particular statement that was made. Thanks.
Just before someone comes in, can someone clarify to us whether these slides are the slides that we're supposed to? Because what we're expecting is a response to what we requested from the MTT. Now that we're getting that statement, we are very much reluctant whether we should proceed after that statement. Can someone explain to us, Chairperson of the MTT?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I must indicate that the statement around the slides being old, it's actually very, very minor changes on the dates. For example, the issue around the shareholders' compact. By the time this presentation was put together, the shareholders' compact was not signed. But then, as we are presenting here, we have indicated that has been achieved because the shareholders' compact has been. But the rest of the information remains relevant. I think it's just one or two areas, and I think one area we did not have an executive responsible when we compiled the slides, and the name has since been inserted. So by and large, the information, it is relevant, it is accurate, and it provides a true reflection of what's currently happening at the SAPC.
Honorable Sheen?
Thank you. I want to move on to a different topic. I was interested in Dr. Ngubane's statement about how much the CAF coverage cost us taxpayers, just to keep the football players happy, which is fine. But my concern is that are ICASA's regulations inhibiting rather than enabling? Are they being a net drain on what we should actually be achieving with broadcasting? I mean, to me, I have absolutely no interest in any sport, so I really can't say whether there should be huge advertising attracted around your mandated responsibility for your coverage of football matches. Is there not a possibility to sort of phase that advertising, actually attract extra advertising? I'm surprised we lost money rather than attracted more more money to that kind of show. So that therefore goes on to my another concern that I have is that one understands and buys into the need for some transformation and language and culture recognition in content. But are these regulations really going to cost us more than they actually do contribute to what the nation is trying to achieve with broadcast? Do we need to get it closer to actually be a little more flexible in what it demands of all our broadcasts?
You, Honourable Killian.
Thank you, Chairperson. Some of the questions have been asked. I just wanted to have a little bit of a better understanding of the figure on page 24. We had cash projections in the past, one of whom was reference was made that we would have had we anticipated a surplus or a net profit of 12 million. And now it is on page 18, and now there is actually the reverse, and that is SABC is projecting to realize a net loss of 92 million. My concern is, to what extent is the figure that is presented to us on page 23 of the DTT, is there a DTT plan in place? Is it presented on the basis of well-informed figures, or is it a thumbsuck? What are we talking about? What informs the graphs on that page? Could we have a better understanding of where that comes from? Was there a plan that was presented, business plan? Was it sort of supported through the SABC board? Chairperson, because in conclusion, I just wanted to make one comment in response to what the chairperson of the board said. I think we must understand each other's roles, and there is a sense of sensitivity on the side of the board. And from members of the committee side, we must understand that in terms of the Constitution, our oversight role as members of Parliament demand of us to conduct effective oversight, to identify weaknesses in legislation, Chairperson, to really do our work with dedication and commitment. So if we engage and we question figures, and we must also look at the history, especially of the SABC, and presentations made to this committee in the past. So we have to question. We have to question certain figures presented to us, etc. That is our role. That does not say in any way that we do not appreciate the time and the effort of the board. But we must also remember, we recommend to a large extent, we recommend the members' appointment. Which is done then through legal processes and the House, etc. So we have to also be responsive to things that are not on track at the SABC. So if we are presented with a report where we see quite a lot of red dots, it is our duty to also inquire further. But I have to say, Chairperson, from my side, from our side as the Congress of the People, we feel that the comments made by the CEO gives us confidence that going forward we have a body of people that are committed to restore the integrity of the corporation and to manage it in such a way that it becomes a public broadcaster for all South Africans. There was a tumultuous period, and it was due to various reasons. It is, however, it gives us courage going forward, that there's a body of professionals at the helm of this body, which is a very important company for South Africans who actually cannot access pay TV. And therefore, from our side, we would like to say we're wishing everybody well, but please do not think that when we make negative comments about things, it is meant to derogate the efforts of the board and the senior executive. Not at all. We're just trying to conduct our oversight work with due diligence. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
My question to Treasury was not answered. And I believe there was an attempt by Treasury to answer my question. I believe they're going to answer it this time. And then, again, I've got three that have not been answered. And mine are simple. It's on page 5. The question was that, when will Parliament get a final turnaround strategy approved by the board? You see on the slide itself, they say, partially achieved. That means you have not complied with the guarantee condition. It was just a simple question. The second one was on the 24-hour news channel. I heard the group CEO saying that they are planning to review the strategy, but in terms of the report before us, it remains a matter that remains unattended to. Group CEO, I believe when you come to this meeting, you reviewed this document, and the report then could be written differently. You could have consulted with the MTT and then put what your plans are. Because that is easier, it's clear that there's been non-compliance. And then on page 12 again, it's an issue on the review of the organization, even approving of the operating model and the organizational structure. My question was simple to say, can SABC put something here on the table to say, when are you actually going to approve this? That's simple issues that you didn't comply in terms of the loan guarantee. Can those questions be answered through you, Chair? Thank you so much.
Honorable Druchen.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I also want to make an addition to what the members said with questions have not been answered. My question has not been answered relating to the SABC staff that also do have their own businesses, and then they also then gain SABC, they gain money from the SABC by having their own businesses and being employed by the SABC. Does that contribute to the deficit, and do you have measures in place to prevent staff from having their own businesses? And a new question from my side. I'm happy what one of the board members said that you went to all the provinces. In the Western Cape, has that been covered? And just one, on the 32 concerns that was raised by the staff members, want to know if it's part of their concerns, the building of the SABC, when we did our oversight, there was complaints from the staff members about the conditions of those buildings where the SABC offices are hosted. And then when we did our oversight, when they can do something, but the SA, and then a person from Auckland Park is sent to do their work, but why are people coming from Johannesburg to attend to matters that the staff can do in the provinces, and why don't you empower your own staff to do those and attend to those functions? I'm very happy what the group CEO said when she talked about the new local content and that it's still coming, and that also the documenting of it. Because you are new and the CFO is new, and I want to bring this up. When you do documentary programs, make sure that they are accessible for people with disabilities. That's the only way that they can get information. I like to watch documentary programs, but I don't have access to those programs. There's one program, I've got the name. There's one justice program that you currently have on television, Final Verdict. It's what's happening in the courts and your access to justice is not accessible to me. And so many deaf people can't watch that program. I was planning to write to the Deputy Minister of Justice to assist me and asking the SABC to make that program accessible. So many deaf people are left outside of the information that is being broadcasted by the SABC. Documentary programs on educational programs, make sure that they are accessible to people with disabilities. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Ed. Can we get responses from the MTT? And I suppose
when you give responses, can you please start with the questions that we're not responding to, so that we can go towards summarizing some of the things so that we know what we should be doing in the future. I'll allow Dr. Makgetha.
Thank you,
and
Chair.
After her, it's Mr. Gordon.
Thank
okay.
you, Chair.
The Treasurer. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. On the issue of whether we did visit the Western Cape office, the answer is yes. We visited all our provincial offices. In terms of the issue raised with regards to the building, yes, that issue was raised, and it's not unique to Western Cape. Polokwane has the same issues as well. In terms of why are we not empowering our provincial employees, that issue was raised. And the delegation of authority framework is definitely going to address that. It's important that we give people responsibilities and we also put measures in place so that whatever delegation of authority that they have, they can be fully accountable, because it's about time that SABC moves into a performance management system where people who are performing can actually reap the rewards, and people who are not performing should actually be disciplined. It's as simple as that. There is no company that can function without performance management in place. But you cannot expect people to perform unless the delegation of authority framework gives them the right to do that. So that is part of the MTT review. DAF is the delegation of authority framework. Thank you, Chair.
Mr. Gordon comes in. I realize that I did mention your name. Ms. Foss, can you come in?
Thank you, Chairperson.
The Honourable Member mentioned the really critical issue of the CASA and the fact that Section 192 of the Constitution is very, very clear that broadcasting shall be regulated in the public interest. So you mentioned the word, does it cast a hinder? I think that is not how I would see the board views the CASA. But it's very, very clear that I think we should say that the board has discussed on many occasions the way forward and how we intend to start structuring conversation, or call it what you will, broader conversations with ICASA in terms of our need to look at policy review, and indeed with the minister as well, the whole public funding model, because when you're looking at quite correctly having to look at broadcasting in the public interest, language issues, educational issues, news and current affairs, documentaries reflecting South Africa to our citizens as we should, our place in the continent, that costs money. So when one looks at sports, its coverage, for instance. Now, sports rights, to attain sports rights is crippling. So sports rights do not, is such that to obtain them means that we can't meet the targets that we're looking at financially. So there are all these playoffs that we need to, look at. And also the fact is that this board inherited the conditions of the government guarantee. We inherited the conditions of the government guarantee. And I think going forward, looking either with the CASA, most certainly with the Treasury, and most certainly with the Department, the issue of digital DTT is going to be critical, because this is not going to cost, it's going to cost hundreds of millions. I mean, the kind of equipment, the playout suites, what the digital library, I mean, what we're going to need to then start launching even slowly the channels, you know, the when we get the multiplex and the number of channels that we're going to have. This was not factored in the government guarantee at all. The government guarantee is very specific, that I'm sure you've all read, that it does not include DTT. So these are issues where when you see us here, I mean, I don't think we should be pilloried for factoring in, as we must, DTT.
but I think it would be helpful if you understood that this is something that we can be fully blamed for. We have accepted the conditions as a board. We're not running away from them at all, as you can see. But it's a multifaceted approach. A multi-strategy approach is now going to be required. DOC, Treasury, ICASA, because the issue of the funding model and policy review is, to my mind, and I'm sure discussing it with our colleagues, is now critical. And this is where you too, as the Honourable Members of Parliament in this portfolio committee, we're all going to be seized with the issue of the funding model and policy review sooner rather than later.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. I'd like to respond to the question that has been raised by the Honourable Member regarding the issue of the review of the government guarantee as well as the financial position of the SABC, wherein he made an assertion that why don't we use the cash money that we have to begin to make payments and all those things. You know, as part of prudential financial management, it's very important that you need to have money in the bank. It assists you to achieve quite a number of activities, be it cash flow purposes or any other eventuality that may happen. So it's not a straightforward thing that because we've got the money in the bank, therefore we must start doing other things. But what we have done as SABC, as part of prudential financial management, as I indicated, is that we have started to do prepayment of the loan, which in itself I think is also a clear indication that SABC is quite confident around its financial position. Though there may be challenges, but at this particular stage, in fact, I think we sit in a position where even at the time when we signed the government guarantee, we were not. Without, in fact, divulging the nature of the discussion that is between ourselves and the National Treasury around the review of the government guarantee, I just want to speak on principles. You know, if you are in a dire strait in terms of finance, you are likely to be imposed very stringent terms and conditions. And I think some of the terms and conditions that are in fact even in the guarantee or even in the loan, you'd find that on the face of them, given the financial position that SABC is in now, you could have in fact element of relaxation. It's a typical example as well. When you are poor, you go to the bank. The bank is more likely to impose stiff conditions on you and you even pay high interest rates. But if you are in a more affluent financial condition, they are more likely to charge even you less. So it's just a basic principle of banking. And as a banker, I deal with those things, you know, in and out. So the point that I think one is trying to underscore is the fact that I think some of the terms and conditions that are in the guarantee or in the term loan agreement, you find that they are not favorable to SABC. But at a particular time, I think it was important for SABC to commit. We are not saying that we are running away from those particular terms and conditions. What we are saying is that given our financial positions, we can in fact negotiate better. Thank you, Chair.
Yes.
Thanks, Chairperson. I will take the question from Honourable MP State. It was in relation to we are projecting a loss of 92 million versus the government guarantee target of 228 million. Just to give a bit of background, from the base of 08, 09, and 10, 11, the SABC has grown from 10, 11, its revenue by 21% year on year. And then for 11 to 12, for the year to date, the third quarter of the fiscal for 11, 12, we've grown by 18.1%. So that I think we need to look at the financial performance of the SABC within that context. And then when we go to originally when we formulated our financial strategy on the back of the turnaround strategy that said that we needed to recover as an organization because we acknowledged the fact of where we were as an organization, we needed to be stable as an organization and we needed to be sustainable going forward. We projected a profit of 12 million on the backdrop of the government guarantee of 228 million. And we began at that point to have a discussion, intensive discussions with our colleagues at National Treasury, with our colleagues at the DOC. So the discussion of trying to relax the financial performance, as it might be put, it's not a new discussion. And really, it was based on the back of the turnaround strategy that we executed. If you recover as an organization, you can't run faster than if you were fit. But moving forward, one of the biggest items that we were targeting the sponsorship, beyond programs, beyond sport. I think the GCO, the chairperson, has spoken extensively around the challenges that we have around the sports revenue. And if you look at our financial performance, even for the third quarter that was discussed by the chairperson of the MTT, you begin to see that we have lost quite a lot of money in sports sponsorship. However, the market as it is at the moment, it's moving into a hybrid model where you no longer get just sponsorship on its own. You get a hybrid, a classic advertising revenue and a sponsorship revenue. And the overperformance in our classical advertising revenue, of which we are projecting to be 40 million by the end of the fiscal, is trying to compensate the challenges that we have in sponsorship. You can see that MTN pulled up. You can see some of the sporting codes. I'm not going to mention them. They had challenges. The sponsorship pulled out. The bankers, they pulled out of the sponsorship because it's more lucrative for them to invest in classical advertising. And then with regards to our employee costs, the board really applied its mind to say part of the challenges is not only even the numbers, it's just the cost base of the organization. And we came up with a strategy that we discussed with the ministry and with the MTT around how we can try and reduce our cost base or try to cut out our cost base. And we had a figure at the beginning of the fiscal of 125 million. As the chairperson has indicated, as a second part, the discussion was had to say, what is the role of the public service broadcaster? So just to wrap up, the reason why we were saying at the third quarter we'll make a loss of 92 million versus a profit of 228 was on the back of the sponsorship revenue of plus minus 115 million that was never realized, and the employee cost of 125 million that was never realized. And then talking about the latest financial performance that our colleagues from MTTF and the board of directors of the SABC has, to date we are projecting to make a loss of 10 million because it was very clear on our minds when we discussed the financial performance of the SABC way back in October with the board, they were very much unhappy about the status of our financial performance. By then, we were sitting at a very big loss, and they made it clear that we are not going to be continuing in a trend where costs are just escalating or revenue is just remaining flat without us doing anything. So to date, we are projecting to make a loss of 10 million. But we're not just going to sit on our laurels to say, it's fine, we are making that loss. That loss should be taken in the context that we paid 72 million to Trasco case, that we only realized 35 million in our books because it was a contingent liability. We've paid the consultant the fee that was never provided for at the beginning of the fiscal. The combination of those two figures was 120 million. That is in our cost base. That was not at the beginning when we determined our financial strategy. And then just to answer around the timeline or the amortization of the loan and to try and match it with the financial performance of the SADC. The loan is over a period of 4 years. The financial performance or the government guarantee target of the SADC is over a four-year period. We've indicated that it's over a five-year period, rather, starting in 2008-09. We've indicated that for 10-11, we prepaid the net bank loan to the tune of 111 million. We saved an interest of 6 million, rather. For the 11-12, the second capital installment is 333. For 12-13 is 333. For 13-14 is 222. Without really talking or going into details about what we want to do as a business, I think the chairperson has spoken about it. Mr. Golding, the chairperson of the audit committee, have spoken about it. The current terms of the term loan are very restrictive to us as a business. It renders our balance sheet inflexible and lazy. There are covenants that are really tough for us. There was a moratorium that was imposed for 2 years. Around our properties, we can't do anything. And it is our firm belief that given the the financial status of where we are. Given the fact that the financial instrument that was layered on the loan around the interest rate, we can begin to renegotiate. It would be very improper of us to go into details, and I hope that the MPs will appreciate that once you issue an RFI, you ought to allow all the financial intermediaries to receive the same information at the same time, at the same day, so that they do not feel that other financial banks are advantaged or disadvantaged compared to the other. But our main goal, our biggest line, the chairperson of the board has always made it clear that, is to reduce our debt. That is our number one cost line. We've had discussion with the monitoring task team. We've had discussion with the shareholder. And on the back of that, just to illustrate to the committee that SABC is an organization that is turning around, that is at the sustainability phase, and is continuing on that. We have facilities with the different financial intermediaries. Those are overnight loans that we can't utilize, but should the need be, it means that you can call the bank today, tomorrow they can give you the money. They continue to do quarterly review of our financial performance. Treasury on their side, they continue to do the Treasury risk management review to look at the controls in Treasury every quarterly. And the banks have continued to accede those facilities to us as a corporation of the SABC. And then another question was asked around the financial matching or the performance of the SABC to say, how do you end up with the 1 billion in your bank but you're making a loss of 92 million? It should be borne in mind that the balance sheet, just to step back, you have a statement of financial performance, which means it's your income statement. It's in terms of accounting concepts. It has non-cash items layered on it. Then you've got your balance sheet at that point in time. Then you've got your cash flow statement that determines whether this business is healthy or not. In your cash flow statement, you have cash receipts from customers. So then you've got cash payments that you've paid to your suppliers. Then you've got cash generated or utilized from your business. If the committee looked at the financial statements of the previous fiscal of 10-11, you can see that for the first time after 2 years, SABC generated cash from its operations. It means that internally, just running by itself, it's continued to generate money. And that trend is continued. Hence, you see that we have cash in our bank. And I will go back to say that previously, we were a hole that was leaking. So we ended up with an operating loss of 390 million. Right now, people are saying, yes, we have a billion in a bank. Yes, we have commitment. But what is of importance as well is that the financial control is improving, meaning that we know where our money is going. Gone are the days where the money was just going out of the building without us not knowing where we're going. Gone are the days where we were paying our creditors 5 days. Gone are days where our debtors were taking more than 365 days to collect. I've already spoken about the work of the turnaround that we've done, and it has continued. Chairperson has spoken about the credit notes. We've begun to look at those to try and really make sure that internally we our processes are improving. However, coming to why we are requesting that the target should be renegotiated, if you look at the financial landscape, if you look at the media inflation versus the inflation that you have, it's different from the assessment that was done. It's different from the projections that were taken into account. So the business case that we've worked this journey of 14 months with the MTT team, where we fought, agreed, and disagreed, to a point where now it's at the National Treasury Government Guarantee Certification Committee for consideration. It said, this is the SABC as it stands. This is the financial market as it stands. This is what the SABC can do. The GCO is talking about many, many vacancies. And then you begin to see that this company was recovering. So my point around why we are requesting that the target should be renegotiated is not that the SABC wants to have its cake and eat it. SABC has sat down over a longer period of time, assessed its performance, and it's continued to drive efficiencies in the building. while acknowledging that some of the challenges are still very present. Thanks.
Thank you. Before anyone comes in, I know some of the people come from Joburg, and we are not going to be in a position to offer lunch for them. Yes. And I just want to say, from here now, we really need a progress. The honourable members are still raising a fact that some of their questions have not been answered. And I requested the MTT to give us those responses before they could say anything. Can we start with that?
Thank you, Chair. I think some of the questions that were asked in the first round related to the guarantee as well. I recall a question around the way in which the numbers are reflected, that the targets are reflected and reported on in the presentation that we made. I think if you take the issue of content, for example, if it might come across as confusing, the commitment was made that cost would be made on the content side, but those costs largely related to around procurement issues, that the procurement that was in place at the SABC was not financially efficient, and secondly, it would result in a lot of provisions being made. However, the fact that it might sound confusing that they committed to a certain amount, and we say that have exceeded that amount, but it is a concern. It simply means that the way we understand it is that the cost cutting now is mainly as a result of not spending enough on content. So I think the targets that reflected there are as they are as committed and as how we understand them. The other issue that was raised around the guarantee and the loan at Nedbank, around the tenure of the loan versus the tenure of the guarantee. The guarantee and the loan are both over a period of 5 years. From 2009, expiring in 2014. So there will be no time where either the guarantee expires whilst SABC is still owing Nedbank some funds, etc. In the event of a prepayment, there is a framework agreement that was put in place and a legally binding contract between the entity and the institution being Nedbank that says how any prepayment before the five-year period will take place. But obviously that will now also impact the guarantee if the SABC pays Nedbank before the five-year period. So these actual legal agreements put in place as to how that matter will be addressed, notification periods and so forth. And then I recall that there was also an issue around what is the Treasury's view on the guarantee application. I think as far as we are concerned, we need to differentiate the role of the MTT versus the role of the shareholder and the role of the National Treasury. Any entity, any state-owned entity, can apply to the Guarantee Certification Committee for a guarantee. Now, how it works is that the entity will apply through their shareholder executive for either a guarantee or increase in borrowing limits and so forth, and then an official correspondence will be made from the responsible minister from the executive authority to the Minister of Finance. Within the National Treasury, we have the Guarantee Certification Committee that considers all these applications. So even in the absence of the MTT, the SABC does have the right to apply through their department to the Minister of Finance for either a guarantee application from scratch or a review or an increase, whatever the case might be. And as far as trying to answer your question more directly around the views from the National Treasury, with all entities that belong to the government that have government guarantees, on a quarterly basis, there is a report that goes to the Guarantee Certification Committee that we compile as Treasury officials around compliance, around progress made as well in terms of
because usually the guarantees are related to some turnaround effort. So we make progress reports on a quarterly basis to the Guarantee Certification Committee. The SABC is not different. What will happen now is that a submission has been made through the Department of Communications for amendments to not the guarantee conditions, but some of the targets need to be reviewed. The argument from the SABC and the DOC is that there has been a change, both operationally and within the industry, that says to them that we are perhaps in a better position now than we were in 2009, and as a result, we need to review, as part of the operations, the conditions that bind us to the work that we can carry out and the initiatives that we can carry out. So the Guarantee Certification Committee will sit on the 13th of March. We had a pre-GCC meeting in our division last week, Friday. We've already made the submission from our side. So what the Guarantee Certification Committee will consider is, from 2009 to date, in terms of what the SABC has achieved, have they done what they committed to do at that time? And if the answer is yes, then I think it's fine. Where the answer is no, or as we have reflected here, is partially achieved, then the SABC will have to present a convincing case as to why that has not been achieved, keeping in mind that not everything is achievable overnight. But that said, the Guarantee Certification Committee will consider the application on that basis, and they will need also to be convinced that of the things that have not been achieved from 2009 to date, what is going to change then to the end of the expiry period of 2014, that will convince them that things will be done in a different manner, that will enable commitments to be met, and the targets that the SABC has committed to at the time that are seeking to review. What is going to change within that? They need to be convinced. But on a holistic level, I think we need to look at the SABC not only around, we shouldn't look at them in terms of just pure compliance of the conditions. The aim of the guarantee at the time that it was issued was to also ensure that the SABC over time becomes a financially sustainable institution that is able to meet its mandate. And where the National Treasury through the Guarantee Certification Committee can assist, then that is also the background that we need to keep in mind. So over and above the conditions, there has to be a convincing case that the entity is moving towards a situation where come 2014, perhaps there is no more guarantee, there is no more loan, but the entity is now well on its way to being a financially sustainable institution that will meet its mandate. And I hope that I've covered some of the questions or concerns around the National Treasury. I think the last one was around, you put it maybe, ma'am, as status quo around DTT. I think as with any other either entity or department or even province, there's a budget process that takes place that is mandated, and the SABC, similar to other entities and provinces and departments, did apply for funding through the normal budget process that was followed. A decision was taken as to what can be allocated and what cannot be allocated, and reasons given behind all of those things, which the Department of Communication and subsequently the SABC was informed upon. So around issues of funding, that is outside of the mandate of the MTT, but there is also a ministerial committee on the budget that sits and analyzes these things and then decides what can be approved and not approved with reasons given. So from the Treasury perspective, budget issues are dealt in that manner. Thank you.
I think just to add on, in terms of just clarifying also the process around the issuance of guarantees, is that the SABC's guarantee is issued by the Minister of Communications with the concurrence of the Minister of Finance. So this is why the application that the SABC makes is submitted first to the Minister of Communications. If the Minister of Communications supports the application, then she sends it to the Minister of Finance requesting his concurrence. The GCC is set up as an advisory committee to the Minister of Finance, so the GCC will sit on the 13th of March and make recommendations to the Minister of Finance on whether the target should be amended and perhaps any other matters that they feel are relevant. And then the minister will have to deliberate on that and decide whether he's willing or not to issue his concurrence.
Thank you.
I think the members of the committee will indicate when they make their input whether they have been relevantly answered. I thought when Honorable Killian was raising issues that arise from our oversight visit, one of the members would really indicate to what was said to us when we visited KZN. One of the things that was said to this committee is that people who have left the employment of the SABC do come back as consultants. And in this case, I am wondering, because I think we should get issues right here. I'm referring to Mr. Stolle in person, who is re-employed. Can you please explain to the committee whether his businesses are not doing any business with the broadcast? Because it's a concern of this committee. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. My name is Claudie from SABC. Mr. Stolle, he's not an employee of the SABC. He's a consultant of the SABC. Thank you.
And can anyone from the committee ask other questions? And your questions should be intending to wrap up.
I think just to follow up to your question, I wasn't part of the committee when you went to KZN, but I'm led to believe that I think the second part of your question should really be, was Mr. Sithole ever an employee of the SABC? He may not be now, but was he then, because he's now a consultant? Then just my last question, Chair, in terms of the review of the conditions, and in light of the fact that in particular, your sponsorship and your advertising seems to be declining. And I'm thinking of the lady sitting opposite me, the chair of the risk committee. I mean, if it's up to the Minister of Health, then I believe alcohol would be banned probably tomorrow. Now, if that happens, and it is going to happen, it's going to have an impact on your advertising. Now, is that being taken into consideration in your risk management, in your strategy, going forward in asking for certain relaxation? Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Steyn, I think you were listening to me. I started by saying these are some of the issues that came out of our visit. Of employees who leave the SABC and then come back as consultants. The response I'm getting is not covering what I asked. Yes. In any case, I'll come back for that. Don't worry. Honorable Killian.
Thank you. I'm happy to hear that you want to take the issue further. Can I just ask, how many instances do we have, or can we perhaps at the next meeting with the SABC get feedback about those issues that were part of the AG report, instances where people actually established businesses and then through being full-time employed subsidized themselves so that they could become consultants thereafter? Do we have any of that information available? And in this instance, irrespective of the individuals concerned, we just want to know that those practices have stopped. And that the measures have been put in place to stop the hiring of consultants at a high rate after they have left the organization and their contract period has expired. Could we have feedback on that? Thank you.
Honorable
Thanks, Chair. Yes, Chair, I was not fully covered. It seems like it was changing the original question that I asked in the first place in your program, where you spoke about in the report, the progress report on the SIU, on the SIU, yeah. So I'll keep my question and hoping it will be answered next week if you're not going to answer properly, because I feel that staff that are still there employed at the SABC, are they also employed as consultants but while they are employed at SABC?
Why are you reserving it for next week, Honourable Tuchel?
Well, it seems like we're going back and forth. We're asking the same question, and the question has been reinvented every time. So I think maybe I can rephrase it next week and ask that same question next week, and maybe we'll get a proper and a full answer next week. Thanks. Unless we can have a proper answer now, Chair. Thanks.
Yes, Chair. The one on consultants and the one on freelancers. As we were moving around, told also that there are freelancers who are actually any more than the actual staff. And the last response, if I can remember, was that they would want to check international good practice as to how other people, because this is a common practice, that some people prefer, though they are good journalists, but they prefer to work somewhere and freelance for SABC. The last one, we're also based on international good practice, is this thing of competition and advertisement. Do you think that SABC will ever overcome the issue of running the risk of being dominated by commerce, because it can give you a revenue? Remember, there are no free lunches. Whatever you do in life, ultimately you get the return of that. Now, we're told in the past that in Britain, the broadcasting institution there is 100% subsidized by government, because it serves public needs. To enable it to serve public needs without depending on commerce, because once you do that, you're running the risk of domination and being diverted from national interest. Now, in South Africa, I know we're doing about 60%. Now, the question is, can you do this competition thing and also generate revenue without running the risk then of being dominated by commerce, which is the case now that we think should be transformed? I wish this one you must answer, please.
From the committee, can we get responses then for this question?
Thanks, Chairperson. I will respond to the alcohol risks that have been raised by the Honourable MP Stain, and I will combine it with the Honourable MP from COPE around the different scenarios that are outlined in the graph that the Chairperson of the MTT spoke about. The first scenario that we've included here is the base case scenario, meaning that if we do the business as is, we don't engage in turnaround, we don't do DTT, we will end up with different cash balances as outlined for 11-12, 800 million, for 12-13, 307, with a bit of an overdraft in 13-14 or 55 million. And then the second scenario is base case adjusted model, including turnaround achievement, risk opportunities, and no MTF funding. I will speak about the risks. Included in our financial performance for 12-13, for change in alcohol regulation, we were anticipating that we will lose 434 million, then the following year 472 million. It should be stated that since from April 2010, these numbers were shared with the shareholder, were shared with the MTT, so everybody knew about this risk that was taken, and it was taken into account. But subsequent to that, the board late last year held a meeting with the Minister of Health where we outlined this challenge, and the Minister committed to say that, in principle, instead of you making money from alcohol advertising, I would rather give SABC the money so that they can make advertising around health, around women not drinking while they're pregnant, around many issues that are related to alcohol. So we have comprehensively taken all the challenges of the SABC into account, including this risk. And another base model is the base model including turnaround achievement risk opportunities and MTF funding. And around the DTT and the normal and some of the requirements that will come because of DTT, we were making requests for digital library. We were making requests for the News 24, the sports where we develop minority sports. We were looking at national sports events of public interest. The chairperson has just spoken about what CAF has done to our schedule and the money it has cost. And it should be noted that it's not only this impact now of 19 million. It's a long-term impact where the audience would have gone or the revenue guys would have gone, and it takes time for them to migrate back to our channel. And another one was the DTT sports channel. So in terms of formulating this scenarios, it was the base model, as is SABC not carrying out the government imperatives of having DTT and the different scenarios. And Honorable Stein, we've taken the risk of alcohol regulation impact into account in our financial forecast and planning. Thanks.
Yeah, I had one hand up before the other people raised their hand, and it was Mr. Stoller's hand. I just want to say, I hope you are not going to be responding to my question, because we are expecting the board to respond to you. So maybe to make a rider on to what I asked, so that the board must respond in full. Can the SABC maybe explain to us the reasons impending the cooperation of not employing a full-time person instead of a consultant, so that you respond to this fully, so that we understand what the challenges are in this whole thing. The chapter.
Thank you, Chairperson and Honourable Members of Parliament. Late last year, the board was approached by the Acting Group Chief Executive, who said he was under tremendous pressure to try and move forward the turnaround strategy, particularly in the area of programming, content, and alignment of channels. We changed the practice where there was the content hub, which bought all the content for the SABC, because they were not relating to the needs of the channels and programming. They bought mountains and mountains of content, international content, which cost us the catastrophic collapse of the finances of the SABC. So we took a resolution to change that, to have the alignment firmly established and did away with the content hub. Now, the acting GCO was saying, given this situation, all this work is upon him. He needs permission to employ help in his office so that all the paperwork can be dealt with and move these things forward. So the board said, fine, you know, we give you authority, but you will have to bring to us the CVs of people that you are employing. Well, this did not happen. Mrs. Stoller was employed by the acting GCO as someone to work in his office. The new thing now is that he's called a consultant. I'm not aware of that. He was employed to help in the GCO's office. His term was up to March this year, and then it will end. So I'm not aware of any intention to change that. So as to whether his company is doing business with the SAPC, I really don't know. I don't know about that. But I'm just giving you the circumstances that led to Mr. Stolle being there. He's not a consultant. He was employed temporarily to help in the group chief executive's office. When we do employ a chief of strategy or head of strategy, it will be a proper process because this is group executive level employment. It will be fully advertised. There will be a search process, etc., and proper interviews. These things have not happened in this case. Thank you.
Dumbi, and the time is 1 o'clock. I hope that you are going to be responding to this and maybe give us time to wrap up because our meeting is supposed to end.
Chairperson, I don't know if my view is shared by other members of the committee, but this is part of concerns that we have with regards to unprocedural activities. It is part of a very important turnaround process that we require within the operations of the board itself. It is so important that all board members who have to comply with the PFMA, and when they are confronted with employment contracts that have not been put through proper processes, they actually have to account in terms of the PFMA. And they can say, who is responsible for this appointment? Where was this decision taken? And those people who signed on the dotted line and who entered into the contract will have to fork out the money. So we will have to have a situation, Chairperson, where there is consequence for such irregular procedures. And the time has really come for the board to lead in that process. And really, from my side, I would like to make a very earnest appeal to the board. If you want all the employees to respect processes, procedures, and all the requirements of the PFMA, every level of it, the board should lead by example. And we would like to have an undertaking from the board that they will stop such appointments, irrespective of the fact that it is a temporary appointment. Everything must be done properly. Otherwise, board members in their individual capacity, as well as the collective, will stand to account to Parliament for things that go wrong. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. I believe this matter is also linked on the matters that we are going to deal with on Tuesday. Maybe it's a way of a proposal because now we have received two conflicting reports here. The other one is saying Mr. Stolle is the consultant. The other one is saying it's Warwat. Can it also form part of the report that we'll receive on Monday, this matter?
Wrap up. I'll allow you, Advocate Masati.
Respond to the question that was posed by the Honourable Member, Mr. Kekana, particularly with regard to the whole regulatory environment. I must say that this question is posed at a very opportune time, with also the question that was posed there with regard to whether ICASA regulations hinder or they inhibit us. I'd like to say that with the announcement of the new regulatory review that the Minister has already said, indeed, the members of this committee are going to be tasked with an onerous task. We at the SABC, for instance, are the people that bear the brunt of the most heaviest of all regulations from a broadcast environment. And given the fact that we're moving into a DTT environment where different platforms are going to be able to carry exactly the same content that we have to carry, the question must then be posed as to whether the internet, smartphones, and a whole plethora of other platforms that are able to carry content will be brought into the regulatory platform of the broadcasters. And indeed, whether
because now the competition is going to be leveled out, the broadcasters and specifically the public broadcaster is going to be released from some of the onerous tasks that traditionally have been imposed upon them. We must also remember that the regulatory imperative for broadcasters and particularly for the public broadcaster were premised on the principle of scarcity of spectrum. Now that the scarcity of spectrum has been released, are we going to continue to be on the same level? And I would like to say that and posit the fact that, in fact, AFCOM in the UK, and this was, I'm being clever now because I attended the International Conference of ICASA last week and also the Commonwealth Telecommunications Conference. And there within the UK, which I think in South Africa has served really as a precedent for all of us, the whole issue that is now even being discussed is the nature of the nature and the essence of a public broadcaster. They are querying whether it is indeed imperative that the essence of what we consider as a public broadcaster must be altered because of the impending competition, because of the plethora of platforms. So I'd like to say to the honorable members that together with the broadcast industry and certainly with the SABC, the centrality of the task is whether the broadcasters are going to be released from some of the onerous obligations, because if we do not release them, then we will make the competition levels even more uneven, because those platforms that come from the telephony segment are lightly regulated, and those whose platforms are regulated by ICASA are being done. I'm just hoping that with the advent of the imminent DTT, all of us will be seized with these questions. Another centrality question that's being asked is that the manner of consumption of content is now changing from the linear one, where we as the SABC and other broadcasters could dictate to the consumers at what time they would consume our content, that the technology is such that, and in fact, most of the younger consumers package their own programming. They pre-record, they read, they pre-record, they consume the content at the time that is most suitable for them. This again speaks to the centrality of the kind of technology that we are going to embrace, particularly from a signal distribution perspective, and also from the set-top box, whether we're going to have conditional access. Because if these regulatory and policy issues are not answered appropriately, indeed, the SABC, I am told, that currently it enjoys about 32% of the market, of the global market of content, we are likely to see that the government guarantees and a lot of the things that we have undertaken to be able to succeed with are going to be impacted negatively if the regulatory environment is not appropriately set. Thank you.
Thank you, Advocate Matas. Actually, someone just came in. I think we are now overlapping to other people's hour. I think as a chair, I would really say we thank the MTT and we thank SABC board and for really clarifying some of the areas to us, and we do realize that the turnaround needs more time, and we are also as a committee tasked with the responsibility to see that this thing comes to an end and there's progress. And we think some of the issues that came up and the questions that were raised, like the SIU one and what was raised by Honorable Ndambi, and she correctly said it's befitting for these issues to be
referred to the next meeting next week. I think what Advocate Mashasi has been educating us on will also arise at that meeting. The explanation that was given by the chairperson on the issue that we just asked about the consultants, I think we'll also deal with that in our next meeting. So far, I think we are really depending on the fact that the SABC, of the proposal that has been made to the Guarantee Certificate Committee. And we think that this committee will also debate about this and see whether this is defeating the reviewal and all the other things that have been posed as challenges. Thank you very much.